This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, all you sexy motherfuckers? I'm Kevy Metal.
And I'm Matty Studios.
And I'm the ferret. There, I'm yelling, fuckers. Is that better?
And you're listening to Heavy Meta once again.
Woohoo! Welcome, everybody. We've got an awesome episode tonight. Tons of stuff is going on, so we're going to try to get to it all. And hey, as they say, no one cares if we go all night long.
All night long.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's go with the first one, though. Maddie, you said something about counterfeits are starting to go around again.
Oh, man. I love a fish.
Because I did a Google search on it, so I couldn't find anything.
It just jumps right in. I don't give a fuck.
Hold on. I have to comment. You know, people say they're like, hey, you know, enough with the rambling. And Ferret's like, look, man, I got to go to bed in 2 hours, so we got to get the shit rolling, you know. All right, so we're going to...
Ferret's new MO is talk for the first fucking hour and a half and then just bounce out when we start getting drunk and derailing.
Actually, that's not too far off.
So tonight, first of all, we have to welcome, we have a guest. The one and only, I believe officially now, it's the fabulous Aaron Campbell with us.
Hey, how's it going?
How do you like our new poll?
I've had better.
Floppy light switch gets the downvote.
It just drops her mic and walks in the kitchen. She's like, fuck you guys.
It is a cave. We're working on potentially getting better accommodations, but for now we're dealing with this freezing cold fucking cave. But
yeah, I would be worried somebody's parts would stick to the pole.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's why I haven't started enjoying it yet.
Wow. I will not start this cast off with a tangent story, but I do have a story about genitals sticking to a pole, and I will save it for the end. I do. It's a really good one. I can't believe that was totally improvised. Can't we just threw that out there? That was not planned. But we are going to start the show off. Aaron has got some news. We're going to save that for the end as well, but we're going to talk about...
Let's just save everything for the end. Yeah. Let's get hammer drunk and talk about nothing. And then, like, 3 hours from now, we'll try to come back and talk about all the relevant...
We won't know what we're talking about. We're gonna start off with the hot topic. So the hot topic today is, I believe, Jack started this. Polish Tamales continued it. I jumped on and off the train because it was getting insane. But apparently there is a Chinese company on Alibaba. I believe it's Alibaba, whatever. And they're printing dead fakes of magic cards. Now, there's a whole Reddit thread that if you want to jump in there into the low end of the gene pool there. And
I was going to say, that explains why I didn't know about this.
Yeah, it can get horrible in there. I stopped reading after about three threads because it was getting to the point. People are missing the point. And I avoid
Reddit like the plague, typically. Like, have you heard my metaphor for Reddit?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I like to describe Reddit as going to Goodwill and looking for a Fendi purse. Like, you've got to go through a lot of crap, and you might find something really pretty and really fabulous, but you still have to weave through a lot of crap to get there. Like,
That's very well put.
Yeah,
I just find nothing of value in Reddit whatsoever. So.
Well, I'll give you the details. So the facts are, there is a company. It looks like it's producing. Of course, no one has actually seen these fakes, but
there are pictures of the fakes.
There are pictures.
There are. Drew Levin had them on his Facebook. I was looking at them today.
Right. No one has held them though, and the only reason I say that is, I used to buy heavily from MTG Mint Card. Is that what it's called? They're out of China. Okay. I'd bought. When was the first Titan cycle? M12 or M11?
I think it was M11.
M11. Okay, so I had bought when the promo Sun Titans were all the rage because those cards are sick. I was like trying to get those off them, and I bought a bunch. And then I was like, well, I bought a bunch of other cards, and I'd bought some Ajani's. So Ajani Goldmane, and when they came in, because I had pulled one Ajani out of a pack, this was in 2011, the three Ajani's I had ordered from MTG Mint Card looked weird. Like, they were, you know, and I've seen different color print runs, and the colors are darker, and it's subtle, but it looked blurry, and I was like, nah, whatever, and I dismissed it. But now, coming to think about it, everyone's like, oh my god, they're forging cards. I would not be surprised if they've been forging cards for a shit ton of time, because I'll tell you this, I never understood the math about how eBay can have 25 four-time mythic play sets hours after packs have been cracked, and hell, we've all tried to crack boxes. You're not lucky when you get, you know, yeah, those things. So it's very convenient. There's so much card supply out there. Now, I'm not saying that everything's been faked, but the truth is, I think everyone realizes that fakes are going to be something that Proxy Guy, and I'm not saying fakes are like proxies, but you see the quality at which good artists can create. Like, I'm pretty sure China could duplicate that shit, and so you can hardly tell. And if they get their printing process down close enough, I believe it could be an issue.
Andy, listen to
you
this.
You sound like it's we the government that. Of China that is fucking.
We know that. I
pretty
have
sure
a
China
shitty...
can get their shit handled.
Yeah. Okay. Like, what I was about to say, though, is we know that I have a shitty process compared to the proxy guy, and you've seen how Kevy was raving over even those. So, you know, someone with the money, time, and inkling to do it, it's. Yeah.
Well,
you got the idea.
Well, check this out. This is the argument that I had, which I guess. You know, it's just proxies, but it opens up a very, very large argument, which I don't think a lot of people are comfortable talking about. And the people that are trying to voice their opinion on it are coming out wrong, and a lot of people are attacking them, saying, you know, because there's a vocal crowd that says, Magic's too expensive. I like fake cards. I want to just buy them and play. And, you know, finance people are like, you're an idiot. You're ruining the game. But I think you're both polar opposites, and I think the reality is this. There is a cost that people want to play the game at, and then there is a cost that people don't play the game at. And there's that variable that sits in between that you want to keep as small as possible because that's profit for producing fakes. And that profit, as we've all realized, that little window's gotten so large that now we're a target. So I'm not saying China in general, but you know, there's people who want to make money off that by producing forgeries, and now that profit window is so large because people want the product so bad but don't want to pay the money that they're in there. And once they're in there, good luck in hell getting them out. You see that company in China, 15 more are going to pop up. So which is this whole thing about how expensive Magic is. And, you know, the one thing that could kill Magic is its own success and the ignorance of the people at the top refusing to lower the prices, which could be something very, very fascinating with paper, which then leads right into the fact that we have new card frames for $250.
Well,
and isn't
actually,
that interesting?
Before you get there, I found out fucking new thing that I didn't know about. Speaking of not necessarily fake cards, but basically fake cards. So I was ordering some shit from Face to Face for my cube because that's all I give a shit about anymore. All of my paper decks have suffered the wrath of me just tearing them apart for fucking
same with
singles.
Me.
Poor fucking decks. I mean, and then I find, like, especially now that I'm on Puka Trade and trying to like get more cards for my cube, then I'm like, do I really want to keep this Scalding Tarn or just use, you know, my proxy Scalding Tarn in my cube that's like fucking badass looking and get rid of this Scalding Tarn so that I can fucking, you know, get more cards for the cube. But last night I was ordering some shit from Face to Face for my cube and I found out about the fucking, WCD, the World Championship decks.
Yep. The Gold Borders.
The gold borders? Oh my fucking god! I got a $6 wasteland. I don't give a shit that it's got a gold fucking border on it. It's going in my
exactly.
Cube.
I've got tons of
gold. Like, it's an official product. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
those stakes are really convincing too. Like, I mean, maybe I'm just really naive, but when I was looking at the pictures, like, if you hadn't told me that it was a fake, I wouldn't have known. Like, the details are so minute that I was having to rotate my camera and zoom in, and even then I was like, it would have fooled me. I would have had no idea. And they're even going so far as, the pictures on Drew Levin's Facebook, they had actually ripped open the card too. They're even going so far as to duplicate, like, the inner layers.
Yeah,
I mean, like, whoever's doing this is not some, like, you know, quick operation.
It's a print shop. Yeah, it's an actual print shop. What happens a lot of the times is, like, because I deal with, like, print shops all the time, especially, like, large-run stuff out of China because people believe that that's sometimes a better deal. That's where everything comes from, and I wouldn't doubt that the paper stock that Wizards uses comes from China. So they're probably
well,
just
when there was a guy when Theros came out. I think even before that, maybe you follow him on Twitter, MTG Deep Throat.
Yes.
Yep.
There was a guy who was leaking these cards, and he was pretty accurate for the most part, and people couldn't figure out like who he was or anything. And there was speculation that he worked for their printer, or that he did something. And as long as they outsource, you know, they can't do everything internally. You know, somebody there's always going to be some hole there, and I'm not surprised that this has snuck through too.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it wouldn't even be hard to find out, like, you know, where they get, like, if you've got a source like that, somebody that's working for them or whatever, or working at the print shop, to have that information. Maybe they're not even, you know, involved in doing something like that, but to get that information to somebody else, like what actual paper they're using or where they can get it and shit like that, to make basically the best fakes you possibly can.
I was just gonna say on Twitter, I wanted to comment on some of the irrationalism of people saying, well, Vintage is dead now, Legacy's dead, it's all proxies.
Vintage is gonna be coming alive on MTGO real soon.
Well, that's not what I was getting at. What I was getting at, they were all upset that, oh, everyone can have proxies, and I'm like, well, the fact is, most people who want to play Vintage and Legacy, you know, if you're playing that tournament stuff, you're allowed proxies, so they do, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, the people who are creating these forgeries, they're not dumb. And if they're making it at 90%, the people who who scrutinize paying $2,000 for a Black Lotus are going to see that it's a fake. They're going to know. So they're not going to do that. And I made the analogy of, I'm like, you know, counterfeiters don't print $500 bills. They print 20s and 10s. And you may say, why? And it's because no one questions that. Yeah. So it's a volume play. So where are these new fakes, if they are out there, you know, start watching, because they're not going to be the Jason the Mind Sculptors. What they are going to be, they're going to be the cards that are worth $30, like Voice of Resurgence, perfect card, a place that's 120 bones. You think you're going to – I wouldn't even fucking look. I'd just throw them in sleeves and play them.
Well, and so, I don't know how many times – like there's been multiple times I've pulled fucking I remember it being foils more than anything. I think there's been a couple foils, but maybe one or two other cards that are just – like they look wrong, and it's like, you know, the print got messed up or something. But like I've pulled them out of packs. It's not like, you know – oh, this looks fishy to me because I ordered it from some dude on the internet. It's like I've pulled them out of packs, but like something was off with the ink. And it, you know, that's going to happen in a large fucking print run of anything. You're going to have some slight mistakes, and not even enough that it's like considered a misprint or anything like that, where, you know, the borders are off or miscut or something like that. It's just like, oh, this looks like, you know, it ran through the fucking printer kind of funky. But these things, like, you know, if you weren't getting them, like, if you don't, like Aaron was saying, you know, just from pictures, but holding them in your hand, you might be able to tell the difference from normal cards. Something might seem off a little bit, but it might not even be as much as some of the Wizards fucking straight out of the packs cards that are just like an off print run. So it's that much
easier
to
pass
them off.
I worry about this from a trading perspective, especially, I know you just said you signed up for Puka Trade, and you know, people are already so anal about their card conditions, where like if there's even a speck on it, they're like, oh, I'm going to give you, you know, half off because there's a mark on it or there's a slight, you know, and I worry that the fact that these counterfeit cards are out there, people are going to be even more suspicious, even more paranoid. And then let's say you're at your local game store and some 14-year-old comes up to you who really does mean well and who doesn't know about any of this, but because his Sphinx looks a little funny to you, you're going to be like, fuck off. And this poor kid's going to be like, I just wanted to trade with you. I don't know what's going on. Like, why are you judging me so harshly? And I see trades getting a little bit uglier because of this. Like, people being a lot more cautious.
Yeah. The thing is that
these counterfeits have been around since, like, I mean, like, when I was doing my Google search, Wizards was talking about them and talking about combating them since about 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always been. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's.
Well, you know where you don't have to worry about that is on Modo.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. There you go. Private marketplace they can charge the shit out of. But here's the question that I was asked, and I thought this was very fascinating because, you know, my stance is, do I approve of fakes coming from China? No, of course not. And there's a very gray line that borders proxies and it borders, you know, what's acceptable for alters and et cetera. But it comes down to, like, that will destroy the game, so I don't want that. That's not what I want. Anything that's high volume that's going to wreck it, that's not good. But
well, and I also feel like, you know, it's just like the stuff that Proxy Guy does, the stuff that a lot of the guys
it's not
that,
the same.
Know, do. Well, it's not the same. And they're in no way whatsoever trying to represent that it's like an official fucking Wizards card. It's completely altered. It's their
and it's a one-off
you know,
piece
rendition of
art.
Of it.
Yeah, right, exactly, beyond all exactly that, what it is. Is the guys like Frosty guys, they won't sell the cards. Believe me.
Right,
people
exactly.
are approached.
Oh, many times he won't.
And that's why this is a whole different story than Proxy. I don't even really consider it a gray line like you were talking about. There's a fucking hard line there between like, this is, you know, it's got not for sale, Proxy guy, you know, printed at the bottom of the record that Proxy guy does. As, you know, this is obviously not it because they didn't print the fucking, you know, the dual lands as fucking unglued fucking card frames, you know? But these are things that are like being, like, these are counterfeit. You know, this is like counterfeit cards that are trying to be passed off as a real thing, like straight forgeries.
So here's the question. You want to play Vintage, Kevy. You're never going to buy the money. Someone comes up to you and like, Kevy.
Oh, no, I'm probably the wrong person to ask that because you know how stupid I am with my money.
Well, that could be true, but like, let's say, okay, like you want to play a Legacy tournament.
I'll see an awesome fucking Legacy or Vintage deck that I want to play them all. That's it! I'm selling the cube! And
No, but like think about this. And this is true. I've seen people that are this anal that they own a set of gem mint Force of Wills and they'll go pay for proxies because they just don't want to use them.
Yeah.
Also, I've seen people that own one real Force of Will, don't want to pay the money for the other ones, and will proxy three others. Right. Now, what is your stance on those? Like,
see, that's a that's
is that wrong? Bad?
That,
good?
Well, that's it. Also depends on where you're fucking, you know, where you're playing too. I honestly believe that it doesn't fucking matter at all if you're playing casually with your fucking group of friends.
Not casually. I'm talking tournament. Money's on the
line. If you're talking tournament wise, now, like, I mean, from what I understand, I don't know a whole lot about like the Legacy Vintage scene, but I think that isn't there like something when
Doesn't allow for proxies, period.
Right.
Vintage, however, it depends on the tournament. If it's going to be sanctioned, there's no proxies. So, but if it's unsanctioned, a lot of the unsanctioned, like what we have here in Ohio, is they'll allow for up to 10, or sorry, in Ohio, it's unlimited number of proxies. And then other areas will have up to 10 proxies. It just depends on
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at, is they have like a, you can have this many proxies. And hey, like, you know, to me, I don't see an issue with that. Like, if you want to have those proxied because it is an extremely expensive fucking format, you know, those cards are extremely expensive. You know, one, if you want to just be able to play that format for the fun of playing that format, if it's not a sanctioned tournament, it's not a fucking sanctioned tournament. I don't see an issue with it. And also the fact that, like, I don't see a problem with, like you were saying, if you've got, you know, fucking these four awesome fucking Force of Wills, you know, yeah, it, like, I think that, me personally, I think it would benefit you to have those proxied up in your deck. And you literally could have them sitting right next to you in your deck box, in sleeves, or in your binder, in sleeves, so that if anybody questioned it, they're like, those aren't real Force of Wills, you get that shit out of here. And you're like, no, I have them right here, but I don't want you fucking putting your grubby little mitts all over them when you have to shuffle my deck. You know, fucking, like, you know, proxy in those fucking expensive ass cards if you've got the fucking, the real ones anyway. When you're playing casually again, that shit doesn't matter at all. If, you know, I'm not going to pay that much fucking money for I can't say that because I probably would. Well, because me, I'm on the fence. Like, I look at it like this, like with my cube, which is a little bit different, but like, there's a lot of cards where I'm like, fuck, man, you know, this is an expensive ass card that I could put a proxy in. Like, you know, I could use a proxy instead. But what's fucking hilarious is the whole reason that I'm wanting to maybe sell that, like the Scalding Tarn I was talking about earlier. I'm like, I could just use a proxy Scalding Tarn and fucking sell this fucking real one for, you know, $56 or whatever, or however many Puka points, so that I can get more real Magic cards.
So, Kevy, do you want to hear what's funny? I spoke to a kid and he said almost verbatim what you did about affording a standard deck. He doesn't have the money. It's fascinating that it's your point of view, right? Your point of view as well.
But see, I agree with Kevy. Like, I'm a bit of an elitist in that regard. Like, when I first started playing Magic, I started playing when Ice Age came out. So I was, like, in junior high. You know, I didn't have a lot of money. And I don't know if this was always the rule, but when I was growing up, you didn't proxy a card unless you could show it in its little plastic case that you actually had it. And I never did anything really serious because I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade. But when I would go to the local game store on Friday night and save up my babysitting money to go, if somebody did try to do that, they would have to show they have the card. And I don't like when people proxy cards they don't own. And that's just the snob in me. I think if you have it, you better be willing to show me your four Force of Wills. And I get not wanting to get them dirty, but you should have them in little plastic cases. And if you're going to floss. I mean, that's what I want to see. And
I get that. And well, here's another thing that, and ends up being a problem there. Like, I personally think something along those lines, like, Wizards knows that, you know, how expensive some of those cards are. They know that, like, you know, although they don't, you know, have, they can't recognize the secondary market, they know, you know, what a Lotus is worth, or they know what Force Wheels are worth, and their condition being a huge ordeal, that, you know, I personally think that they should be, you know, let you do that. Let you proxy in fucking expensive cards like that in sanctioned tournaments if you can prove that you have the card sitting there next to it. But at the same time, I understand that in doing that, they're treading on fucking weird ground where they're allowing proxies.
Kevin, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. Okay, mm-hmm. they unban Jace from Modern. That that card immediately goes to $800 to $1,000.
Right.
All right. Am I allowed to proxy it?
I don't know. It kind of. I would say yes, but I mean, there's got to be.
But doesn't that? But doesn't that? But see, it's not about the end dollar value of the card. What it is they make money off Modern. They make very little off Legacy and Vintage. So they're allowing proxies to exist to please the older collectors and the people who want to play those games.
They're not allowing them to exist. You can't. That like Farrah was saying, you can't. If it's a sanctioned event, if Wizards has anything to do with it, you can't proxy anything.
Yeah, because then otherwise,
it's a slippery slope.
They're literally giving up their copyright by doing that.
Right. I'm just saying it's fascinating that, in all honesty, I hope, you know, Wizards gets, you know, their ear bent on this, but you need to bring the prices down, man. I'm telling you, like, if you do not lower the price for the decks that everyone wants to play, because it's great to say, hey, Pauper's for you, you cheap motherfucker, you can't buy good cards. Nobody wants to play that. If they're hooked on playing, you know, the good decks, which is what everyone, it's all on coverage and it's promoted.
I worry it's going to change the metagame, though, because even if you look at a format like Modern, like I just started playing Modern, so I realize that I'm not an expert, but for as long as I've been following it, Jund has been the best deck. Like, if you have four Tarmogoyfs, four Liliana,
Splinter Twin was reigning for a while, Karn. I mean, Jund right now is actually falling off.
The Delver decks do well. Yeah. Well, Birthing Pod, like, has been doing amazing.
GP Detroit, if you look at
GP. I'm not saying it's always winning all the time. But yeah, when, like, before Bloodbraid Elf got banned, Jund was the deck in Modern.
Well, I'll give you that.
And then,
more of a rock variation, but I'm saying is if you look at the two Modern GPs we had this year, it was strong. I remember the outcry at GP Detroit.
It's still the top deck on Modo, too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is think about the meta. I mean, I think the only thing that stops a lot of people from playing that deck is not wanting to pay $280 for a set of Dark Confidant or $400 for a set of Goyce. But think about if everybody had access to those cards, who's going to want to play anything else when you can play the best deck?
You know what's funny? I'm not saying, like, make it, like, 5 cents. But what I am saying is Modern Masters, I believe it was a failure to do – what most people wanted it to do. It did bring commons and uncommons down, yes, and it did a great job there. I wish, though, that the amount that it brought those commons and uncommons down, it did the same for the rares and mythics.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the Goyf, the Bobs, and really, I think maybe Cryptic Command and you know, Cleeks. Those were the cards that people really want to play with. But they're like, come on, man, it's gotta be halved a bit. I mean, they tried. I'm sure there's gonna be Modern Masters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And, you know, I could see Modern them being a little more aggressive next time and really trying, because look how many more people talk about Modern. I mean, we're all talking about it. We all want to play it. Yeah. So, you know, we'll move on from the whole proxying thing, because I do want to talk about the new card frames, and what everyone thinks about it. So if you haven't seen them, check out Daily MTG. I think there's a lot of things that they're doing right now.
I like them. Everybody's instant reaction was like, oh, it's terrible. And my first reaction when I saw him was, I like it. The only thing was, like, the first one I saw was fucking the Waste Knot.
And I love Waste Knot.
I actually like it. But, like, it didn't stand out to me much. I was like, who gives a shit? Like, it's barely different, of course, because it was black frame. Yeah. And then when I saw the, what is it, Wall of Fire, where you could see the contrast between the colors. I like it. I think it looks fucking great. I mean, you know, it's different, yeah, but it's not extremely different.
Here's my take on it. Because, like, they've expanded the art, which is beautiful. They've reduced the black, which is awesome. They've, you know, tweaked the fonts, which, again, amazing. They've added their little copyright line to the bottom. Who gives a shit? Don't even notice. I think everything has been great, except, like you said, the one thing that is it's growing on me, but my instant reaction was throw up, was that hard black radius around the bottom. Like you said, you didn't notice in the black card, but on white cards, it looks god-awful. And I just wish they had done maybe a fade. I know they're, you know, good designers there. They probably tried a lot of things. And
I like that. I personally like the design. Like
it feels Pokemon-ish to me.
I think that's probably the intent, Matty.
What they want? No, see, if that's true, I think they're idiots. Because they shouldn't be. Like, Magic has always felt, and I know when we moved from the old art frames to the ones we have now, there was a huge uproar that it looked too digital and everything was falling from the skies, but it's had 10 years to play on everyone. I don't think anyone gives a shit anymore. But this is a subtle thing, and I'm not saying the world's gonna end. I like it. I think it's fine. It's just that black bottom, something about it. Maybe I just need more time with it, you know? It just feels less Magic to me. So that's my only critique. I think otherwise than that, I think they did a great job.
What do you think about the fucking little hologram seal on the rares and mythics?
Well, I have yet to see that implemented in the right way. If he was in charge of laying out everything, I'd be like, I love it. He's worked it out nice. I don't know what they're going to do on Planeswalkers.
I don't have too much of an issue with it. Like, I mean, I kind of like it, but I'm torn on, my thing is I'm torn on the fact that they decided to do it on rares and mythics. I mean, I get the fact that it's like, those are the cards that are going to be worth a fuck, so that's, you know, it's to help out with counterfeiting issues kind of thing. But at the same time, it seems odd to me that you're going to, like, when you throw everything into your deck, you know, when your deck is built and you're thumbing through your deck and you're looking at it, you're going to have this fuck it, just on the rares and mythics, it's a whole different design element. You've got this little fucking round hologram in the bottom.
Have you ever played with those sleeves that have the corner with the little hologram in it? Like, I'm used to it, so.
Yeah.
No. What I'm saying is, like, yeah, when you play, those are all the sleeves.
Oh, you're saying only on rares and mythics? Ah.
Right. Only being on rares and mythics seems weird.
We've had God frames, miracle frames. I mean.
That's true.
Fuck it. I at the end of the day, if this makes it worth it, cool. I personally was hoping they'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. Super frames. Super art, and just lose the frame entirely for, at least for the Planeswalkers. I thought that would just be something that would blow my mind, but alas,
I have a feeling they're probably not ever going to go that direction, to be honest with you. I think that they kind of leave that open to, I mean, they know that that shit exists, that they have, the artist community out there that likes to alter cards and shit like that and do away with the frame and stuff, and I think that they know that's there. They know that there are people that like it, but I honestly don't think WotC's ever going to do away with the fucking border and just
You know, it's funny. One of my graphic design brothers pointed out to me, he's like, you do realize they have that black border for fudge factor. And if anyone knows how something is laid out on 6/6 or 9/9 or I think it's like 12/24, whatever they lay out there, cards are on the giant sheets. The black border is there, so there's fudging of a millimeter or two when they have the blades that cut the cards.
Oh yeah, so, you see that shit all the time because you see, like, you know, how many times do you look at one of your cards and you realize it's set, you know, it's offset.
I just don't look at cards that closely. Like, maybe I'm just preoccupied with what the card does, but I've never been I've never been that anal about it. Where it's like, even if it releases,
you've never noticed that before. You've never just noticed like one of the random cards you got in a pack or something like that is like off centered from like.
No.
You know, the border's bigger on one side than the other.
Oh man, Aaron, I've got a pile of cards I can't look at. I'll send them over.
I have to say, though, that one of the frames that I really enjoy since I started playing Modern is the Future Sight look. Like, I have Dryad Arbor, and I love that. Like, I'm old-fashioned, but I would love to see if they ever were to bring that back. I would be very happy. I thought that layout was just really cool.
I actually like it a lot, too. The only bitch I have about the Future Sight, frame is, like, and I'm sure it's probably been beat to death before back when since they've been out, but is like the mana cost is just odd to me. Like there's times where I'm like, wait, wait, fuck, hold on, I gotta look at it again. Like, how much is it? Just because it's so kind of out of the way and blends in with that border because those circles are there no matter what.
Yeah.
So it always catches me odd. But, like, I like the future.
I think they can't use that frame just because it doesn't allow the flexibility of, like, what modern card tax lengths and stuff like that. It's just too complicated.
Putting 12 abilities on a fucking common.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I have to say, the only thing about the new card frame that kind of bothered me is when they were talking about the font, and they were like, we've named the new font Balerion, and I'm like, give me a fucking break. Like, of all the things you could have named it after, like, are we still riding Jace to death here? Like, come on. Like, I just think they could have named it anything else, you know?
I like the font, but I agree with you there. That was kind of
broken. I'll tell you this. They are going to ride Jace like Batman and Superman. That is they will always keep that guy. I personally think they should just do evil Jace and have him die. You know, like, do something dramatic with the guy and then have him reanimated or something in 10 years. But what's funny is I'm calling right now M15, Jace Bellerin is back. Just because.
I'm actually more excited about Garrick. Like, I think you were the one talking about it.
Garrick
might go to the dark side, or we might have a full-on black Garrick or something.
Oh, damn, that's right. Good. Thank you for reminding me. So there's a teaser art that is a brand new, it's kind of like the guy that did the Chandra. It's that 3D kind of poser model painter.
It almost actually looked like a real dude. Like, yeah. It looked like a random ass fucking neckbeard pissed off in a Garrick outfit.
Well, if you notice the art, and you can check back in my tweets, it is the Garrick from Innistrad.
The Veil Cursed.
Yeah, he is the Veil Cursed. He's cursed. I don't know if he's the Veil Cursed, but he's cursed. He's got the helmet on, the glowing eyes, and he has all the black whatever ooze.
No, I'm saying the card was called Garrick.
Yes. But what I'm assuming is, it's Hunt Bigger Game, I believe is the tagline for M15. And, my opinion is, if they're gonna make Garrick, kind of this is what they do now, like, Planeswalker, he's the set, green boxes, I'm gonna call it now, cause we had red boxes for Chandra, and they'll brand it all around him. What'd be very interesting is, they're not gonna do a flip card in an M set. But they could, they're gonna do a new Garrick, that's very clear. Now, he is cursed, so they're continuing the storyline. So he's either green-black or green-black, and he's a gold card, which would be interesting, or he's black. And if they do, I'm just saying, Mero, if, you know, Aaron, anyone who did it, if you guys have the balls to color shift a Walker like that, dude, you're amazing.
Well,
that's what I want to see.
They don't have many other directions to go other than to keep reprinting fucking the same walkers or, you know, reprinting basically the same walker and changing their abilities and calling it something else. Like, you know, as far as like design space goes, you know, they're kind of running short without really, you know, crossing a line like that. Like either, and I think that would be the next logical step to, you know, I think you're right there to like, that's something they haven't done yet. You know, they've had fucking, you know, they have had a Johnny go from white to white red. But, like, they haven't just full-on shifted a fucking – a Planeswalker, a character like that from one color to the next as far as I know.
No, they've had Tezzeret went blue-black, and then what the hell is the crazy dragon dude?
Sarkhan Vol.
Sarkhan Vol went crazy. He went from red-green to red-black. So, but it would be very, very, very awesome to just have him become totally black.
Yeah, full-on go then, black instead of green.
And then what would be awesome is, you know, you make Justice League.
And then they bring back Nissa for the green. Oh.
No. You could do a whole, like, Justice League counterpart evil character, like Superman Bizarro. So it's like Garrick and Dark Garrick. And then you basically take all the abilities on Garrick, but you give him the black versions of them. So instead of putting out a beast, he kills a beast, you know? Or, like, I think that would be really, really thematically awesome. And it would be a great storyline. Wizards, grow some balls and do it.
It's just like fucking the tagline for M15 is just Planeswalker fight, and there's just everybody's in a fucking different color, and it gets all weird and crazy.
Well, speaking of fights, we have, I believe, the announcement for M15 is Clash Packs. Is anyone? Yeah, so there's going to be something special. The gimmick for M15, I believe, is called Clash Packs. So there's something special. There's not too much info about it except that it's Clash Pack, whatever that is. So I'm assuming it's kind of like Pack Wars, but maybe with like a thicker pack, maybe we get 25 cards a pack or something kind of cool. But that sounds kind of interesting. We'll see how it goes.
The packs just clash with your outfit.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like Clash. Like, are we talking like the actual keyword from Lorwyn?
No, I think it's kind of like, you know, you pick a pack, I pick a pack, we crack them open and we battle or something like that.
Okay. You do remember Clash, right?
Oh, yeah. I never liked that either. That mechanic was so confusing.
I don't know what that does.
Okay, so Clash is a mechanic where you basically, so when you clash, one of you reveal the top card of your library. You can clash with an opponent, and then you basically each flip over a card, and whoever has the higher converted mana cost than all the others wins that clash. And then something happens. So it's like a weird, like, you know, like, quick flip it over, like, go fish or something stupid.
And then you just throw them all back into your library, or do you
No, it just sits back on top, doesn't it?
No, I thought it goes back to the bottom.
Oh, it goes to the bottom. Yeah, I think it does. I think it does go to the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of wonky.
Because it's like seeing a free card. You're right. It goes to the bottom of your deck.
It depends. I actually just looked it up, and there's one example here of Research the Deep. And in this instance, it says they reveal it, then put that card on the top or bottom.
Okay,
okay. So it depends on the card. It's like
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a Scry effect.
Sweet. Either way, it just sounds tacky.
Yeah. It was bad. I didn't like that.
It's like YouTube. Well, it's fucked. One of you guys has to go change your outfit. Flip over cards until you figure out which one has to go home and change.
All right, so we're gonna move on. So I have some interesting news. So for people, me and Luke Narion there on Twitter, and a few others have been watching what Michael Jacob and Sam Black have been brewing, because we do know that a Pro Tour is coming up. And some interesting speculation stuff and some interesting decks that have been brewing. I'll talk about Michael Jacob first and, of course, Travis Wu and his crazy deck that he's got. But Michael Jacob is basically ripping off frickin' T. Trevor there, the clan leader, who basically came up with green – what is he calling it? G-Wave?
Mono Green Devotion.
Yeah, Devotion Wave or something like that. So Trevor had that before anyone. I know.
We talked about that before a few episodes back, and didn't he, like – wasn't he, like, mentioned on the fucking mothership?
Yeah, it was already put on the mothership, and it was Gavin Verhey who turned around and released it to the world.
Yep, and now we've got Michael Jacob tweaking the list. I don't think he's changed very much at all, but he's really hardcore on it. So for those of you that are, like, watching, Genesis Wave is thinking about
it. Yeah, G-Wave is going up or something.
Yeah, it's like I think it's 1.3, and it was, like, nothing. It was, like, 20 cents. So that's a card to watch. Keep your eye out on that one. Travis Wu apparently has broken the internet again and broken formats with his Summoner's Egg deck, which is essentially just it's almost like a Through the Breach.
Into the Breach, yeah.
Yeah, it's his famous Through the Breach Emrakul deck, green-red now, but mostly artifact-based, and he's using this weird card from the original Mirrodin block called Summoner's Egg, and this thing was like nothing. It was worth 10 cents. Now it's worth $1.30. It basically, so it's an 0/4 creature for 4 mana. And when you put it in play, you imprint a card on it. So I throw my Emrakul under it, or I throw my Through the Breach under it, and then it's an 0/4 wall. Now when it dies, boom, you get to cast that card for free. So he uses all kinds of tricks with Phyrexian's Core, sacking it, or getting the opponent to attack into it. But it is one of those situations where he has – once he gets that combo going, you're like, fuck. And it's an inevitability kind of thing. So that's a card to watch. It's spiking like mad on Moto right now. I haven't seen any of the decks do anything in the dailies yet, so just keep an eye out that. Watch that.
I have to say, I played against Mono Green Devotion the other night at FNM, and I have to say, as Living End, it wasn't that impressive.
Are you talking Modern? The Modern?
Yeah, I was playing, yeah.
Right, so is that...
Living End, he was playing Mono Green Devotion, and if you can get off of Living... What happens is they get really, really... I mean, if
That's
you can Living End...
Fair.
I mean, if you can Living End before they do and you shut out more guys and you race them, you can win. I also had one where I let him do his thing. Like, he was taking, like, 3 minutes to count all his mana, like the Devotion decks do. And I'm watching, and I'm like, and he's shitting this whole board out, and he goes, your turn. And you can cascade into Living End as an instant. And I'm just like, Living End. And he has to sacrifice his whole board then, and I put all my board back. And I just don't worry about certain things. It's very very awesome.
I love that. I love that with Modern. Man,
Aaron,
you can think
kids
you have a deck
Friday night.
Yeah, well, that,
I said you making kids cry at Friday night.
No, these were grown adults.
Well, there's another deck that you should keep an eye out. Sam Black released on premium side. He's basically gone back to his almost blood artist, aristocrat, red, white, black deck, but he's tweaking it for modern. He's adding the Zendikar vampire engine in, which if anyone remembers those days, which is Kalista Highborn, Viscera Seer, and Sack Outlets, to basically, once you drop Kalista Highborn, anytime a vampire dies, you can pay one black, I believe, and it's a two life drain situation. Mm-hmm. And I, man, many, many times in Zendikar Standard, I'd be sitting there with, you know, Primeval Titan about to win, and they'd vampire me out on turn four, so, or turn five. So, very effective. Kalista Highborn is awesome. It's 50 cents online right now. Not saying that it, you know, it's an awesome spec target, but if Sam Black does, and we all know he can, break shit open, you might want to watch that. Also, Falconrod Aristocrat's like $3 or something, dirt. That might be a card you might want to watch. It does have modern capability to some extent.
That card is just so goddamn good that it's like, Aristocrat is just, it's still one of my favorite fucking cards. And it, like, that card is one of those cards that will sit around and not do anything for a while because the metagame doesn't really allow it to, or, you know, shit just isn't working in its favor. And then all of a sudden it busts loose and that card will just skyrocket through the roof. And then it'll settle back down, you know, it'll get hated out and it'll hang out for a while and hibernate, but that's one of those cards that is definitely going to come back.
What's awesome about that card is it's a sack outlet. So it has the sack ability. So for any, like, you're playing Blood Artist, like the fact that you've got Blood Artist and Kalista Highborn on the board, that's 3 points for every time something dies. That's lightning bolts to the face, man. Like, I can imagine some very fast turns. So I've built that deck, and I'm going to start playing it in the modern room for the next couple of days and just see, because I'm very curious to see what this deck runs like. But it's going to be something to watch for modern. Very excited to see what's happening. But the card that I'm currently completely sold on right now is Pack Rat. I know I talked about this last cast watching Owen play it and basically like, fuck it, the rest of my deck doesn't matter. I put a Pack Rat down and I just throw the rest of my deck away to Pack Rat and I win. Scotty decided to challenge me on my day when it was minus 40 and my truck wouldn't start and I gave up. I wrote it off as an MTGO day. And I was like, all right, I'll play Modern Black Control. You hit me with that, whatever you want. And every time I got a Pack Rat out, it was like, he only had one card in his deck that killed it, which was Mizzium Mortis Overloaded. And I would sit there and just throw everything else away. I don't even care. I do whatever you want, man. Just put all your drag, put all your shit out on the board. It doesn't matter. Pack Rat is absurd. The card has completely won me over. It's what, $4 in paper, $3, $3.50 online. The card's really good, man. It's something to watch. I definitely think that Devotion plus this card is like this bonus that no one has really looked into yet, because you don't even need to, because the card's a fucking one-man army if you get it going right.
I'm really over it.
So, Maddie?
Are you? Okay, well, hold on.
Am I allowed to hate the card yet?
Absolutely. No, anyone can hate
it. You were giving me shit about saying, oh, it's not bad design. It's a good design.
It is a good design. I think it's a very good design. It is. It's a great card. No,
it is a card that completely, utterly warps Limited, and then you see what it's now doing in Standard. No, it is not good design. It is lazy design, and it should have never seen the light of day, period.
It's beatable. Here's the thing. You know what?
I mean, I will defend Pack Rat. I will say one thing positive about Pack Rat. It does take skill to know, and I think Zvi wrote an article about it, just all about Pack Rat. And it is tricky getting the science down of when to make it, what to discard when you do, timing it with your mutavaults. I mean, that alone can fuck you up. Like, it's something I've struggled with. Like, I was one of those people who, I'll admit, when I first saw the Mono Black Devotion deck, I looked at it and thought I was just going to face roll with this. I thought, how can I go wrong? It's all really obvious. And I've lost quite a few games because I didn't have those interactions right. I didn't have the timing right. If you can pilot it well, absolutely, it's fucking gross, but I just think it's kind of, it's stale. I mean, I think we've seen so much of it. It's kind of like we saw with Thrag Tusk for a while, where people were, because the mana cost was so flexible, people were putting Thrag Tusk in every single deck. I think you're seeing it with Pack Rat now, where people are
what deck plays Pack Rat besides Mono Black? Come on. Pack Rat is not Thrag Tusk.
Pack Rat has a single black mana cost. You could actually shoehorn it into pretty much anything you wanted to.
But no one does. No one does. Like, Thrytusk was in.
Playing. Even the control decks have resorted to playing Pack Rat now. Like, Brian Brown Duin had three in his sideboard. The guy who was playing Shuda Yuzuka at GP, the Japanese GP that just happened, he had three in his board. He was playing blue-black control. So whereas control wanted as few creatures as possible, even control has sunk to using Pack Rats against other control decks. Like, that's where it's come. That's what it's come to. You know?
Well, I think the card has, you know, when we first started this cast, Jay Boosh said get better at Magic, and that's been my goal since he kind of insulted us, and it's been my goal to do that. And like, and you know, a year ago I would have played Pack Rat as Pack Rat, and like you said, Aaron, like I would have missed a lot of the interactions, and I would have missed the fact that, hey, you know, just with a Mutavault, I can tap, I can use Mutavault's own mana to tap itself for a combat trick just to get that extra point. I can do all kinds of tricky things with it, and now that I'm a more adept player, I really gravitate towards those board states that give me control. Like, what I never want is to be sitting there with nothing to do, you know, and that's kind of like, I think, why all the pros are really using Pack Rat to such efficiency, because it allows you outs that you never, like, I was at one life with a Pack Rat and came back from a 20-1 game just from one rat. Didn't matter if I drew lands, didn't matter what the fuck I drew, came back. Owen did that on the last Star City coverage. He was at one. I think he died, though. He didn't win that game, but it just showed the fact that maybe Ferret is right. Maybe that no card should be allow you to do that, but
thank you. I'm like, you're just proving my point here, Maddie.
You could have a point. You could have a point. I will hold back and say this. Born of the God comes out. If we have oppressive mono black control decks, which I have a very strong feeling that mono black control will be the best deck, no matter what the fuck the metagame gets.
I don't think so.
We'll talk about two cards that may infect that, Kevin. But I just think Mono Black is such a tight package right now that the deck's so good. It's so tuned. Like, I don't know what they're going to get that would force you to cut a card. But maybe the opponents will just get such strong board wipes. Maybe a really early board wipe or something that doesn't matter what the power, I don't know. Who knows?
I found Ratchet Bomb to be effective against Pack Rats.
Ratchet Bomb is a fucking awesome card. I love it.
Oh, man, I haven't seen any Ratchet Bombs in my meta for
too bad
a while.
There's no Glisses out there.
I played Shuta Yuzuka's deck for 2 weeks, and that was in the main deck, actually. And I found, like, a turn two Ratchet Bomb against Pack Rat, like, you just hang it out there. Unless they thought seize it out of your hand, Black has no way to deal with artifacts. So it is allowed to just sit there, and you can wipe out all their Pack Rats, and it's splashable. You can put a Ratchet Bomb in any color deck you want, but it is an effective tool.
Interesting. Now I will say, Ferret, a couple people have requested your opinion on what the fuck Folomator Mage is sitting at 43 tickets online and 27 in paper. What the fuck is that price discrepancy? Because when Folomator Mage, I believe this was 3 months ago, when it was sitting at 36 tickets, we both agreed it was a sell, that it would never hit above 36, and it did. It dipped. It went all the way down to 20 tickets. But now it's back with a vengeance. What is it doing?
My opinion on Folomator Mage? A Stone Rain that you have to sack a creature? I don't know. It's not like it's a repeatable effect.
Is it just
if you play Living End?
Well, no, I understand Living End, but that's about the only deck that is really good in.
So what?
Sorry, I know people can fucking play it in Pod too, but seriously, it's not the best thing in Pod. It just.
But here's the thing: in Modern, if Modern is driving this, or speculation in Modern is driving this, what is it destroying that is like, oh my god, I have to destroy this? Urzatron? They've got too many copies. What's the value?
Oh no. I won Urzatron 2-0 on Friday thanks to my Fulminator Mages. It made a huge difference. Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh yes.
Now, Aaron, have you ever killed like a Cavern of Souls with it?
Yes. I was playing,
You know what else works really well against fucking, and it doesn't cost nearly as much against fucking Urzatron? Blood Moon.
But they can kill Blood Moon.
I was playing against a deck the other day.
Not fast enough.
I don't remember what I was playing, but I do remember he had Cavern of Souls, and I do remember destroying it, and with the Fulminator Mage, because I had destroyed everything else already.
So here's an interesting note on Folomator Mage. Its price spiking is a direct correlation with Nykthos. Mm-hmm. Now you're like, what? Nykthos is $1.50. It's garbage, Matt. It's garbage. I've been telling you. Everyone, all the pros are brewing with Nykthos.
Yeah.
It is a real fucking card. I'd get your playsets online, people. I'm serious. I'd get your foils now. That card's crazy. Fallen Mate or Mage from the people that I've spoke to are like, they're like, I just want to get this card now because they know that Nykthos is just too damn good. And once people figure out the right combination, that's the card, that's the key card you want to kill in a devotion deck. Because you're, right. Who gives a fuck about the rest of their cards if they don't have 25 mana on turn 4? Mm-hmm. So, interesting. So that could be a bit of it. I'm not 100% sure it is, but if you look at the price charts, interesting correlation.
Makes sense.
It does kill Mutavaults. Very true, Kevy, and that could be another reason.
Well, there were also rumors that it might be reprinted. I was seeing buzz on that too, and that might be why people are buying them up too, because they feel if they get them, you know, now and sell them, maybe.
No, usually if there's a reprint thing, you'd see the opposite. Like when Thoughtseize was being rumored, we saw a huge 25% dump cut on it.
Oh, okay.
So I think I don't think they'd reprint it. You know, a 3-mana land destruction is what they don't like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? But anyways, it's something to think about, people. And the last one that we got an email on was Thundermaw Hellkite.
That bitch.
I sold mine out at like 30 at the peak. But I love that card, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting because I would like to have a couple. Just, you know, what the fuck? I might brew with
it.
You never know.
It's a good fucking card. I love that card.
And I've been waiting, and it has been slowly dropping. It's at nine tickets right now, which is not the best. It's not the worst. It's 10 in paper. Now. Someone was like, do I buy? And I'm like, well, I bought because I want to, you know, have some fun games with them. But I do believe that, you know, modern Thundermaw Hellkite is a long fucking shot. I don't know what deck's going to play it, but except for like some dumb brew, I might think that it's a finisher in.
Yeah.
You know, but someone pointed out, they're like, hey, as a finisher, I'd take Stormbreath Dragon. At least it has protection from Path to Exile. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, yeah, good point. I mean,
actually, speaking of that, hasn't Stormbreath gone down a lot?
No, it's still bouncing around 14.
Oh, okay. I thought I thought Stormbreath had dropped too, but
it did. It goes up and down. Like we said last time, like Theros cards.
Nothing drastic though.
I never thought I would hear myself say this, but I would much rather face a Thundermaw than face the Stormbreath. The Stormbreath is annoying as hell.
Yeah.
You cannot leave that card unsupervised for a moment, because you're like, okay, it's a 4/4 pro white, no biggie, and then you forget, especially in the green-red monster decks or the green-red devotion decks, where they suddenly have a lot of mana, they can cast that thing, and then the next turn they're pumping it up, and you're like, shit, and like, you've got a lot of times you've got to deal with it right there, otherwise you're fucked.
Well, it was funny, because I was playing mono-black devotion in modern, in my brew, and I had two Phyrexian Arenas out, and some guy came at me with this insane deck, and he drops Stormbreath Dragon. I'm like, oh my god, I'm just gonna fucking kill this thing. And he monstrous'd it, and I'm like, oh, wait, oh fuck, I'm gonna take 7 damage, I'm dead. Mm-hmm. He didn't even have to attack me. He just monstered because I had all the cards in my hand. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like that card, you're right, like at first everyone was saying, it's a shittier Thundermaw. But actually, I think you're right, Aaron. I think it's the more flexible card.
No, I actually, and I agree, that was kind of the consensus at first, but like the more it's been around, the more I realize I like that card more than I like Thundermaw. And Thundermaw's a good fucking card, but I like that card more than I like Thundermaw Hellkite.
I will say this, though. Casuals love dragons, and Thundermaw Hellkite's an awesome fucking dragon, so who knows?
And angels.
Yeah, and Sublime Angel is 4 tickets right now, and that card actually does have very real modern capabilities in the White Weenie deck, so.
I think I was reading something on Twitter that somebody said that Iona was going up in price, or was it Linvala or Iona? It was one of them. Somebody on my Twitter feed was lamenting that it was suddenly really expensive and they didn't know why.
Yeah, Linvala has been 20-something for a while now. What was the other card?
Iona?
Iona, yeah, Iona's dropped off. She's like $7 now. Okay.
I have to say, going back to Sam Black's deck just for a second, the card that I love the most that you completely glossed over, Dark Prophecy.
That was the card that I couldn't remember.
I remember when that card was previewed, I creamed my pants because I'm such a black mage, and I was like, and nobody used it, nobody found a use for it, and then Black Devotion took off where it didn't need it, it had Underworld Connections, and that is one of those cards that sits in my binder. I think I have two or three of them, and I just sort of, you know, touch it fondly through the sleeve. I'm like, one day I will have a use for you, and I love that. I think that's so much fun.
I'll tell you this, that card's 10 cents online. If you want to buy 100 of them, you're going to make money. That's a surefire call that if it even Sam Black gets on camera, that card's going to be a buck. It is just too – it's funny that the synergy with Vampire Sack Outlet and that card, I deal you 10 damage and I draw 5 cards? What the fuck?
But you're also getting life from Grey Merchant and you're getting life from Calastria Highborn to pay for those cards too.
I know.
Nice little engine going.
It's – I actually think Sam Black is the best deck builder I've ever seen. I mean, Travis.
Smitty.
No. You know what? I have love for Smitty. I have love for Smitty. But you know what? Smitty was like a young, mentally retarded Sam Black. How about that?
I mean, here's the thing. Maybe I'm just biased. Maybe I'm biased because I'm playing one of Travis's decks and because I had him on my show. But I feel like Sam and Travis are both good for different reasons. Like, Sam's being good at deck building comes from a very analytical, methodical, you know, detailed kind of place, whereas Travis's comes from passion, love of the game. This is fucking weird. I'm going to make this shit work. And I think they both excel in their different areas. You know what I mean? Like, they're both good for different reasons. I relate more to Travis's side of things. If I really love this card, I really want to see it blow up. I don't relate to Sam's, you know, I think in binary kind of mind. You know, I can't, I don't get into that. he does good work. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I find Travis to be more accessible. I find Travis to be more infectious. You know, Travis makes me believe that anything's possible, whereas Sam is, you know, 0110001, and I'm like, what are you saying? Like, I don't get it.
Speaking in Terminator.
Yeah, you know, I can't get behind that. You know, whereas with Travis, you know, he can explain something to me, and I'm there. I'm fucking in.
You know what? You know what, Aaron? I have to say that I think you like Travis for another reason, and that's because mostly he does shirtless streams. I think that's why you're like, you know what? He wins one.
Travis is actually, I don't really like terribly skinny guys. Like, actually, Maddie, your build, like a little meatier build, I enjoy that more.
Get on the roids. No.
I'm not really in the frail guys. I need something to hold on to. I like some dog.
I'm out.
You're out.
I'm out.
Yeah, but you've got the floppy light switch, and that turns people on. You know what, though? It's funny. I actually agree with you. You know, Travis can come off to a lot of people as an arrogant guy, and they don't really understand that it's passion. Like, when I watched him build that deck, I watched the replay of his stream, and when he was putting it together and just like, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and he was, you know, reading the stream, and people were like, you should do this, and he's like, no, here's why. And he, like, tells you exactly why you're wrong and what he's doing, and I love when he's just like, you know what, fuck off to all the haters. Fuck you. Like, because he's just like, don't bring the negativity to the stream. And I was like, I really identify with like that positivity over everything aspect he brings. And you're right, Sam is cold. He's just like, hey, this is the best deck. What are you gonna do? And that's just the way he is. Smitty, though, funny enough, he was very passionate about his builds, but he was passionate in blind.
On the wrong cards?
Yes.
He was like a young Conley, where Conley's like, I'm going to break fucking this card. Well, that card's bad. I don't care. I'm going to break it anyways. And I love brewers like that, because sometimes it's not about winning. It's about just, I did this. This acidic slime bounce combo or something, you know?
I think, like, as a brewer, though, there has to be something about you that makes people want to play your brews. Like, when Sam plays a brew, you know he's in it to win it. You know he's looking to top 8 something, win something, take something down. With Travis, you get behind him because he's so passionate and you believe it and you get hyped up with it. I think Smitty, with all due respect, I think he just was turning people off. Like, there was no reason to follow him anymore, where it was, hey, you're really repugnant, you're really cocky. Why do I want to listen to you? Why do I want to play your deck? And I think, especially with Conley's very lovable. He's a very teddy bear kind of guy. Yeah. You know, you have to have that kind of aura as a deck builder that makes people want to follow you. And I think eventually Smitty's just turned more people off. Like, there was just nothing about him that made people want to root for for him or that made people want to play those decks. And I think you've got to have that attitude if you're going to be
Like I said, like I was with Smitty from his day one. Like I helped him with his first website. And when he was at first, he was so real. And I think he got his head got a little big at the end. And you're right. Yeah. He got a little crude with people where he shouldn't have. But then the breaks for everybody, I guess. I don't know. But I will say this. As far as our 20 tickets, Aaron, I don't know if you knew this, but we issued a very long-term challenge and a bunch of people are in where we said we're going to start with $20 on MTGO and we're going to just buy trails, trade, whatever we can do, but only with that $20, and we'll see at M15 who has what amount of money and what they did with it and as their experiment.
I'm putting all my money in Garrett's.
Kevy has yet to buy a single card, and that strategy could very well win. I did something very interesting, though. I was listening to JR Time Elemental, who is probably the best at this game, and he's probably going to win it. He's very good at grinding out, the value. But his suggestion was get out of the penny cards. Get out of those 5-cent cards. They're dead. They're never going anywhere. And, you're just wasting your money because you end up tying up all your bank in it and you don't have any money to trade with. And his kind of attitude was, you're going for the $2 to $5 cards. And my counter was, but we only got 20 fucking tickets, man. So, if I buy three cards, that's it, right? But he was like, no, you hedge it right and you keep moving. So I did a drastic move and I sold everything. So I sold it all to liquidate because I believe that we're about to see some shifts coming at Born of the Gods.
He sold it all to me.
No, I sold out. So here's what's funny. So I had been trading up and down here and there, and I sold out and I ended up with 21.5 tickets. So pretty disappointing for about 2 months. I've made 1.5 tickets.
2 months of work out of a ticket and a half.
And I'm talking that's probably 100 trades. That's buying, selling, and I'm like, come on. But I had too many of those cards tied up in the penny stocks. So my plan is I believe that the highest value for people that want to try and grind out a couple of points here and there is look for those cards that are at a quarter to 50 cents. Those are the cards that do jump to 1.5. And you can unload those at a place that at 6 tickets and make one or two tickets really easy if you play it right. And it's just something interesting. If I happen to lose on the 5-cent profit accrufic decks when it goes to a dollar, who cares? Because the chance of that happening is too far, so I could be wrong. Maybe I will. Maybe Marcel will beat me there. But I'm out, and I'm going to try for the higher value cards for a bit and see where that gets me. So that was my update in 20 tickets. I don't know if Fair and Kevy have even played the game anymore.
Let's just real quick, fucking before I forget, you brought up Marcel. Big shout out to Marcel and Tyrone for their new fucking podcast. By the way,
yeah.
I wanted to throw that in there. But anyways, proceed.
I was just saying, Kevy, you haven't done anything with 20 tickets, right?
I haven't done a fucking thing. I literally, like I said, it's
awesome.
It's not out of the normal Kevy laziness. It's just I feel like I want to just jump on something because, I don't know. I just see there's these cards that are just going to jump, and maybe it's just the whole playing the lottery kind of thing. It's I was I'm waiting for something that jumps out at me that's just going to fucking skyrocket so I can just be all right, I spent 20 tickets on fucking 10 of these, and now I've got a month later I'm I got 200 tickets in my account. You guys can suck a dick. I'll see you at M15.
you know it is funny though, I'm gonna break what I just said, and I think tonight I'm gonna buy 2-3 playsets of Dark Prophecy because actually I do think that card is money in the bank. That card's too good. But anyways, Fair, have you done anything?
Not lately, no.
All right,
I was waiting for the new set to come out and play the right, the roller coaster that is new cards.
Yep.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. Now, Kevy, Aaron, actually, we'll ask Aaron. Have you seen the new, I guess he's the black-red Minotaur god?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't seen that artwork?
I saw the artwork. I just didn't know there was a card. Is there a card for it?
No, we haven't seen the card.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen the art.
The artwork was basically Kevy Metal with a guitar in his hand. I don't know who photoshopped that, but that was gold.
That was pretty fucking funny.
It does look like you, though, dude.
Slightly. Like, I mean, my horns are a little bit bigger, but, you know.
And they're in your pants. Oh!
Yeah, no shit. I'd go lefty-righty if they looked like fucking horns.
Well, have you seen those body modification guys that actually do put, like, the horns on their heads?
So, Kevy, do you dress left or do you dress right?
I always dress right because fucking lefty's bigger than righty. So.
Are you guys talking about what leg you put your pants for?
Exponentially, exponentially bigger. So, I've got no choice but for it to just fucking roll to the right.
Sorry, Professor Aaron has to school me now. Yes, what?
Do you dress left or dress right?
I don't. I commando. Does that
really?
Oh yeah, I haven't worn underwear since I was like 8.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
You know, it's funny. Ever since I think it was when I started playing roller hockey too. It was funny because we'd be getting dressed, right? And I'd be like, all right, I got to put my pants on. And people are like, whoa, what the fuck? And I'm like, what? And they're like, you're not going to wear fucking underwear playing roller hockey. I'm like, nah, fuck it.
I have a like, really bad habit.
I can see Maddie as the asshole in the locker room where he's just all, oh, shit, I forgot to take my skates off. So his pants are in his ankles. His asshole's just glaring the dude next to him in the eye. And he's, like, unlacing his skates fucking bent over.
No, you know what was funny though? We had, on the second roller hockey team I played on, Aaron, you'll love this story. We got half a team, and half our team just sucked out. I don't know what happened. And it's like the start of this. No. They just didn't want to play. So we had like game one, start of the season with half a team, and we're like, we need guys, what the fuck? And literally in the parking lot, we're like, hey, you guys, you want to come on the team? Never met these guys in their lives. And they're like, yeah, we're cool, whatever. We wanted to play anyways. We're in the dressing room after the game, and we won. We did great. And we're like, man, you guys are fucking awesome, right? I'm like, yeah, we had a great time. And there was this guy, George. Sorry, George, I got to out you. But he basically and like, I don't know. I guess when men get dressed in the dressing room, no one really is like, hey, balls out, you know, crazy. But this guy was like skinny as Kevy, as a rail. Right. So he's like 6 feet tall, little skinny guy. Well, he's like a tall, skinny dude. And, he's, you know, starts, you know, getting undressed, whatever. And he just strips down fucking buck naked, just sitting there on the bench with the largest cock I've ever, like,
just
nobody.
Just dong hitting ankle, just fucking.
And I don't know if he did this on purpose to be like, hey man, I'm just gonna throw this out here and just get it out of the way. But like, all of us are like, I'm untying my skates and I am like, I don't know, 3 feet away from him. I'm untying my skates and I look up and this thing is staring at me and I'm like, the man has 3 fucking legs. And I look over at my buddy Kev and I'm like, and Kev looks at me and his jaw is like hitting mouth. He's like, that cock is huge. Like, so
that doesn't surprise me. Like, my research, the skinny tall guys usually are hung like horses. But that's not a surprise.
But light switches.
No, well, Kevin, the funniest thing in the world is everyone was like this. No one else took their pants off. No one.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying. That dude knows damn good and well what he was doing. That guy actually enjoys any chance he could be in a locker room. Not because fucking like he's all, oh yeah, I'm going to check out these other dudes. No, he's just all, I know damn good and well these motherfuckers are all going to keep their pants on,
dude,
when my cock hits the floor.
Dude, I it was hilarious because he goes to take a shower and the rest of us, no one says anything, but everyone just looks at each other like, well, he won. He won that. There's nothing you can say. It was the funniest shit in the world. Like, I was like, wow, like your first impression you're going to leave with someone is that. I guess if I was hugging like that, I'd be like, hey, first impression, what are you going to do? But it was just crazy, man. Funny.
Yeah, I'd do the same shit. I'd throw my shit on the floor if it would reach the floor. Like, I'd just be like, oh, check me out. I win.
Oh, man.
I love guys who don't wear underwear.
Yeah. But, oh, that's where I started. That's where I started the whole thing. Well, yeah.
I am an unrepentant. I have a really bad habit. I am what they call a crotch watcher. So there's nothing more I love than a guy who's just like, I can tell there's something there. And it's like, oh, my. Like, is that for me? Like, love it.
Are you so astute that you can tell cut uncut? just no. from the way it moves under the pants.
No,
well,
but
if you're Maddie, if you're wearing yoga pants, she probably could. But...
I actually don't like uncircumcised guys.
Either do I. Fuck those. Cut that shit off. Make it look nice. Jeez.
I've actually thrown people out of my bedroom for that. It's an instant deal breaker. I can't. It just reminds me of, okay, it reminds me of two things. Go with me on this. Number one, it reminds me of a Chinese finger trap. Where you put your finger in.
Yeah, that's.
And then it also reminds me of,
what
I don't
those
know.
Water can... snake things.
Exactly.
Yeah!
The water snake balloon where if you squeezed it, it would fly out of your hand because it was filled with water. It was that weird tube toy. Have you seen that?
Oh, I have, I have.
I can't.
So Eric.
I always thought that that would be a good idea. Like, after I grew up and realized I have no shame, like, I was all, man. I should have been banging those things when I was in fucking high school speeding up all the time.
Right.
Like, I should have been banging those things instead of using my hand. That would have been awesome. But, you know, now they don't fucking have them around anymore. It's
bull- and they're probably too small for you, Kevy.
There's no way that's possible.
Okay. So Aaron, tell me, one of my friends who was uncircumcised, he told me this hilarious story. He had met this girl at a bar and, they were, obviously, yeah, getting along, good attraction. They go back, and I see him the next day and he's like, well, I had a fucking worst night of my life. I'm like, what happened to you, man? He's like, oh my God. He's like, what the fuck's with chicks? And he was like going off and off. I'm like, tell me, what's the details? Why are you so pissed?
He's like, my cock looks like an anteater and they don't like
it. No. Tell me if this is what you would do, Aaron. So he's like, we go back, we're making out, it's all hot, everything's good, you know? And you know, the lights are kind of low and, they're like, okay, let's do this, right? So they're fooling around, they're getting naked, they're doing it. And, they're having sex, they're going at it, boom, 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 it's all good, right? And, he's like, whoa. He's like, where do I come? And she's like, well, don't come in me. You gotta pull it out, right? So he pulls it out and she sees that he's uncircumcised and she grabs his cock and jumps out of the bed like, get that shit away from me. And he's about to ejaculate. And she's like screaming, get the fuck out. Like, that's a deal breaker. You can't come in here with that. You should have told me before you put it in me. And he basically just gets kicked out of the apartment with a rock hard, like, uncircumcised dick.
Maddie, I love the fact that, like, right in the middle of the most, you know, one of the most vulgar stories we could possibly come up with, you chose to use the word ejaculate.
You know what I was thinking? I was like, I gotta save. This is a little raw for people.
Yo, I've said come like two or three times already, but.
Yeah, that's true.
We only get so many before we get kicked off.
I actually would never let it get that far. Like, that's one of my initial.
But it was dark. But see, the whole funny part of the story was.
Oh no.
He was like, it was dark. And he was like, what the fuck? You couldn't have just let it happen? And I'm like, hey man, for some chicks, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah, I've thrown people out for it where, you know, I remember the first time I'd encountered one, I was, funny story actually. This was in my first apartment. He worked for the power company. He was checking the meters. I know it sounds like a bad porno, but it really happened.
Oh, come on. That's a porno script, right?
No,
there.
Seriously. If I'm and lying,
the
I'm
pizza
dying.
Guy, the pizza guy knocked the door and said, hey.
No, but seriously, yeah, he was checking the meters.
I gave you 4 meters.
It really
you sure
happens.
You weren't the babysitter, you know?
No. Oh, that's on Thursdays.
I believe you. Honestly, Aaron, I believe
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so he was checking the meters. I thought he was very hot. He thought I was hot or whatever. I invite him in. We start doing our thing. I can see that he's turned on. I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. I get on my knees and I'm like, oh, this is good. And I feel it. I do my inspection. I'm like, oh, he's so hard. He's so big. Yes. And then I go to open it and the suspense is building. And I'm like, ooh, and I roll down the zipper and I slide the flaps of the jeans down. And he's got, you know, boxer briefs, which I like. So I'm like, yes, yes. So you know, I pull those down. And then it was almost like you hear the snare drum and then it stops.
I thought you heard the record screech, you know.
No, but it's just, you know, there's the build up, like in the old movies, and then you pull them down, and it's, and like the you know, the symbol or whatever.
Then you hear the wah, wah.
And I was like, what is this? I remember just kind of, I remember trying to make the most of it, and, you know, it was like, okay, it's, what? And I couldn't get past it. It was like a mental block. It was like, why? no, and I just kind of panicked, and I was like, you gotta go. And since then, it is one of the initial questions I ask when I do meet a really nice guy. It's number one, are you single? Make sure they're not married. Number two, make sure they're not a Republican. And number three, make sure they're not. And as long as they pass all three, I will go forward. But if you fail any one of those questions,
this dude's stoked. He's just all, fuck yeah, I'm single and I'm liberal. It's on. And it's like that last fucking thing that you get. Like, you pass all the fucking sobriety tests and they're like, hey, I got one more test and you could go the fuck home. Here, blow in this. Fuck.
Blow in this.
But I have turned down. And then you take the breathalyzer and I just can't deal with it. It's my own. I get it. I'm shallow. I'm gonna die alone. I get it. I've heard it all before.
I get you too, because I'm on the opposite end of the field, but like I'm the same way. Like, girls, your vagina has too many lips going on. You either need to or just go find somebody that doesn't care about that shit. But yeah, I can't handle it. And I mean, I guess I'm assuming that's basically from the other end of the field. It's the same thing as like, you know, uncircumcised, all that extra fucking foreskin.
I think everybody has their deal breakers.
You've got too much hip going on, like, nah. But then again, I'm a fucking prude about that shit too. I'm like, unless your vagina's made out of gold, I don't really give a shit. I guess
I think everybody has their deal breakers, and I think as long as I would rather somebody be upfront about it right away than sort of lead you on and be like, oh, I can suffer through it, or I can just, when the whole time they're like, why am I here? I don't want to be doing you. I'd rather they be upfront about it. It's just easier.
I cannot wait till somebody that hears this episode walks up to you at a bar and just throws it on the counter as all, is this cut off enough for you?
There's the opening line, right? Hey, you want to
up front and honest, you know, just throw his cock on the bar and just be like, oh, is there too much?
I know what it's going to be. I'm going to play Legacy for the first time. Watch. I'm going to play Legacy. And some guy is going to be playing that Merit of Liege, that avatar. And he's going to be like, well, I got my 2020 avatar, and I'll start packing up thinking I've lost. And then he slaps his cock on the table. There's your avatar. And it's just like,
George.
Big uncircumcised thing coming at me, like, indestructible.
That's the thing. If it's uncircumcised, she's going to just quietly fucking take him off to the bathroom. If it's uncircumcised, she's going to call a judge.
Yes.
See, I thought there would be all this, like, quiet banner, like,
is unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah. I thought it would be, like, this banner, like, oh, I cast Batterskull. Really? How is the germ looking? Oh, the germ is nice and smooth. Interesting.
Nice and smooth.
What circumference does your Batterskull contain, my young man? Is he got a floppy front end? Huh? Oh, man.
Floppy downy or lefty righty? That's the important part.
So for all those people who are still listening, congratulations. You've passed. You have passed the vulgar test of heavy meta.
Yeah, everybody that's still listening gets a Rurik Thar on Moto.
No, man, that seems like 40 cents now. It's too expensive. But Aaron, we did invite you on for a reason. And we had heard that there was, I don't know, some incredibly big news that you were going to break on our show, which I was like, are you fucking crazy? Our show?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Shit.
So. I like to give you guys the dirt. So
nice.
So here's the story. So I am announcing this here first. I have left legitmtg.com and I am now a member of the Gathering Magic family.
Oh, nice! You're with the Brain Crew now.
Yes. My first episode with
congratulations.
Thank you.
So am I imagining things, or was that already said on Twitter though?
No, I've never said it to anybody.
Okay, did the Gathering Magic guys say it though?
I don't think so.
Why? Did you know Ferret?
Honestly, I swear I thought I did know that.
I don't think so. I can check Twitter.
I can check the Twitter between you and me. I don't believe you told me on Twitter. No. Or not Twitter, but I mean... Wait,
are you thinking Heather? Because didn't Heather just recently do the
same? Yeah, Heather did.
No, I'm actually looking at Twitter now. Gathering Magic doesn't say anything about me.
Okay.
Didn't Heather just recently announce something similar? Like she was
in January. Or yeah,
Heather did that a while ago, I think.
Yeah, Heather joined Gathering Magic when Medina first left. She was one of the first of legit.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah. So no, as I was thinking, maybe I only told four or five people, and then I know they didn't say anything, and I was waiting for your show to break the news. So I haven't told anybody.
Awesome. We appreciate that. I just don't know how the hell I did that. Maybe it was her ASPN.
Barrett's a fucking clairvoyant!
No, it's you, Kevy, when you drink. Now I had heard, now tell me if this is true, that KYT and Gathering Magic, there was a huge bidding war for you, and that KYT just couldn't go as hard and high as they did. Is that true?
I actually never KYT went is not to
tall
KYT.
Enough. Yeah, he's not tall enough for that ride.
I never went to KYT about joining Mana Deprived.
Oh, you should. We would have had the sickest fucking room.
You know, I'm very much an only child. I kind of want the attention and I want my share. And there's so many podcasts that I kind of thought I'd be lost in the shuffle if I joined MD.
Oh, my God. Come on. There's only two podcasts.
Like the all-stars of podcasts.
There's only two.
Heavy Meta and Heavy Meta SVU. There's only two of them.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at. I mean, I hear there's like some other podcast that KYT is just like, well, I mean, I own this site. I might as well at least have a podcast.
No, but in all honesty, congratulations. That is awesome. I hope you got a good deal.
I think it was. I mean, I think, you know, Stibs is awesome. And I think a lot of it is just, I just wanted to be a part of a team again and be surrounded by people who are all creating. And, I look forward to it. It's,
The deal was 4 uncircumcised dicks a month.
I wish.
Oh.
I'm excited. It was hard. It was hard, you know, making the decision to leave. It wasn't easy.
I wouldn't have asked for that because then you might get some counterfeit China dicks and be like, hey, wait a minute. Those don't look right. They look awfully small for a fucking American dick.
And the coloring is off.
Yeah, the coloring is
off. The watermark.
There's a little
reason why you only stick with Pyrex.
There you go. So I have some news as well. We, Aaron, as you know, we're in Hoodie Gate, where we have basically tried to make hoodies now for 3 months and had 2 people go all the way to making hoodies and then back out at the end. But I have a new guy, and he is sending us all, Kevy and Ferret, you're getting yours. We're getting demo sweaters.
My birthday present? Yes.
Yeah, we're you guys, because I'm gonna put this out to the team. You all have to agree that you like him, and if you do, we're ordering these motherfuckers. So hopefully, I don't know. I'm gonna try my hardest to get him for GP Montreal, but I don't know. But speaking
please
of GP,
please tell me there's a huge uncircumcised dick on the.
It'll be inside the pocket for you, Kevy. Don't worry. That way, you know, maybe you play a little bit of pocket
shaped like the foreskin and the overhang. It'll be the hood part, you know.
Dude, that would be our fucking gimmick, Matty. Oh, you're into marketing, like seriously, like the fucking the right hand fucking hoodie pocket needs to just have a fucking like a hole with fur around it for fucking easy jerk off.
Oh wait, like, hey, you think inside. That's hold on, that's been done. I'd seen this as a gag gift, a sweater that the inside pocket went into your pants.
That's
so you could, it was the jerk off sweater or something. It was really weird. Like you could fit it.
Dude, we could hook that shit up. We could put like fucking like line it with rabbit fur or some shit. So it's all rabbit fucking, fur. All comfy. It's like a little glory hole in your fucking pocket. It'd be beautiful.
Oh, hey, speaking, okay, who the fuck, okay, I gotta say this, sorry, Aaron, that you're here for this, but who the fuck let in the Wolverine and the midget to the fucking cave? Like, when the fuck did we get a fucking bunch of mascots running around?
The midget is your fault, Matty.
It's not mine. The midget,
no, the midget is your fault, like, tenfold, man.
What? He's not even...
You pissed off the midget enough, he tracked you down.
Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm sorry, there was Ferret? Not much to do.
Ferret, I think your hoodie that says I can't even think straight is what lured them in.
Yeah, there you go. I don't even get that joke, but it sounds right to me. Look, all I know is this. There's the goddamn Wolverine that I thought we'd got rid of ages ago finally made it across the Canadian wilderness, and he is, like, stalking my ass.
He's found you.
Yeah,
he
was like, both.
Wow. They were great drinking buddies. Well,
They both.
What was that movie from, like, the fucking early 90s where it was, like, the fucking dog and the cat that, like, walk across country or some shit like that to find out?
Oh,
same
Homeward
shit.
Bound, there you go.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, but with a drunk Wolverine.
I got him hooked. Yeah, I got him hooked on beer. He's looking for me. No, the funny thing is, like, a lot of people are like, oh, Maddie, is that you goofing around? It's not. I don't know who these guys are. I have no idea. But the fact that this show has gone so viral that people are taking characters from the stories and fucking make – hold on. Do not – do no one better make foreskin jokes on heavy meta cock, heavy meta uncut. I don't want to see that. I will not follow you.
No. Maddie, we'll have to give one exception. If they make a hoodie that looks like a penis
no,
and the
no,
hoodie
no.
is like the uncircumcised part, then we'll give them a pass.
And then you can open up the hoodie and make it cut. No, I don't want to see that. No.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Like the fucking pockets or the testicles, and then it just it's
she
just
can't even get
up
it.
The thing. And then you could just pull your hoodie over. Oh, it's awesome. Oh, Maddie, you need to send those hoodies back.
Oh,
and
man.
Over.
I don't know, guys. You're going a little far. Yeah, this whole shit. You know what, though, Garen? It's funny.
Oh,
it's,
man.
You have...
Well, fuck that. I'm using it for Barstool Saints then. The first Barstool Saints hoodie is going to be just fucking just pink with veins in it.
You know, some people come to the show and they're like, wow, I never expected to get so rude. And I'm like, really? The fucking driveway of dicks didn't tell you what you're in for? So there you go. I mean, it's not shocking that we're at this point. We're almost 2 hours in, folks.
No, I've been talking to guests lately, like guests that are coming up. Like I was talking to Eric and I was just all, hey, he's like, shoot me some info. Yeah. You know, I'd love to come on the show, and I was just all, what you should probably do if you haven't listened to our show is go to Mana Deprived, listen to an episode, and make sure you're still up for it. Because there are certain people that just can't handle what's going on. Aaron, on the other hand, Aaron keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Not only can she handle what's going on, she loves it. She don't give a shit. She keeps showing up and hanging out with us.
You know what's funny, Kevy? You've probably seen the guy on Twitter that started listening to our he just found Heavy Meta about a couple weeks ago, and he started listening to our catalog from episode 1. So he sent me an email, and he's like, I'm on episode 7. How did you guys survive? How did no? And he's asking me. He's like straight up. He's like, did you make a deal with the devil, or did you have some special like anonymity from being prosecuted for what you say? Because no one talks like you guys. How are you allowed to do this? And how is face not left? And he's like asking me all these things, and I'm like, dude, I don't know. I have no answers. I really don't know.
It's all about the ratings.
He's all with the race.
Yeah, we don't know enough about magic to fill up 3 hours worth of fucking, like, topical fucking conversation. So we
but
just dicks? Help drink
but
and dicks. Talk about dicks. We know all about dicks. And so we could talk about those for fucking hours.
So, I know I could.
I don't know why you people still listen, but I like that.
So Aaron, what do you got coming up in as you enter your new life at Gathering Magic? Do you got any more guests you're trying to go after?
Travis Wu I just had on, and he was super fun, and he was really hands-on, actually, which I wasn't expecting. Like, he was very good about, like, sending me – because what I do as a courtesy to my guests, I always send them a list of the questions up front, and I always let them know, because a lot of my stuff is more personal. So I want to make sure that they're okay with it. I never really ambush anybody. And he was actually really involved. He was like, you know, this question, I'm not really sure I can answer it. Can we reword it this way? Or this one sounds a little harsh. Can we soften it a little bit? Like, he was very cool and very hands-on, and I wasn't expecting that. I was actually surprisingly nervous around him. I've never had somebody on my show whose deck I'm playing. And I was like, oh God, he's going to ask me how I'm doing with it. And if I say I'm not doing so well, he's going to be like, why are you fucking up my deck? And you're Travis.
You're ruining it.
You're not allowed to play the deck. You're not allowed to play the deck. Put the deck
down. So I was surprisingly nervous around him. But to be fair, there are people I want, but they just like, I really, really, I would love MJ Scott from Gathering Magic. She's super, super busy with between her family. And I think she's writing a book. She's writing an ebook, and she's doing the flavor text thing. So she's so hard to get. And every time I ask her, she says she's busy, and I'm like, oh. So I would love MJ Scott. I've thought about getting Ari Lax. I think Ari seems a lot of fun. Very good, you know, he has that good Jewish boy kind of look to him, which I love. So I'm a big fan of Ari. I love that. I'm a sucker for that. Honestly, I don't know. I'm really – everything is so fair game right now.
Have you ever interviewed an artist yet?
I haven't, only because – and I hate to say this. I just worry that there wouldn't be enough to talk about. Like,
oh, my God. Come on.
Steve Argyle. There will
yeah,
be
I was
to
just
going to
say Steve Argyle nah, would be so
that.
Good.
If Aaron, on your show, if you're going to talk to an artist, you need to get RK Post on there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys could talk about dicks for an hour and a half.
You know, I've thought about it, but, you know, like I said, a lot of times I like to veer more towards the personal, so I want to know more about them. And a lot of the artists that I've been interested in don't put a lot of themselves out there. So if I had something to sort of go off of that could lead me to think they might be interesting or they might have really exciting personal lives, then maybe. But a lot of it, they just talk about the art, and that's great, but, I want to know more about you. Like, I want to know about the person. And
only Heavy Medi has the power to pull shit out of people. You can pick the most boringest person.
You also have the power to put things into people, but that's a different matter.
Exactly.
But no, like I love.
In more ways than one. Like if we don't like what they have to say, we just edit in like some shit that they didn't say.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, so I'm pretty, I'm really lucky. I hate to be cocky, but I really can have my pick of anybody at this point. So
this is the episode to be cocky on, I'm telling you.
Now, like, I'd love to get Paulo. I think Paulo would be a really good time. Who else was I thinking of? Shaheen Serrani looks like a lot of fun. He was very nice when I met him. You know, I'd like to tackle the tougher ones. Like, I think Brad Nelson would have a lot of things to say. I don't know.
Brad would be good.
Yeah, especially because he just went through some stuff.
Yep, the breakup, yep. Oh, speaking of breakups and get-togethers, this is news to me. I had no idea. Now,
Chris Brown and Rihanna got into some shit, apparently.
I called this when I first saw, and I'll let you finish, but I called it. I'm just putting it out there.
No, I'm not the one who finishes.
Okay. Oh, you want me to say it?
It was an inside joke.
Yes, New Kids on the Block got back together. You're done.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Okay, so apparently Frank LaPore and Melissa Del Toro are a thing now. Now, hold on. I'm not getting all Saved by the Bell. Who slept with who? And that's not what we do. But I'm just saying, like, that's shocking.
It should be.
Okay, fuck it, man. Screech, get on here. Like, we're doing this shit now. I had no idea. So you know more than all of us. How did this happen?
Okay, I knew something was afoot because for the longest time, Melissa and her boyfriend had a joint Twitter account. They were all I do is win MTG at Twitter or whatever. And they tweeted exclusively through that account. And this was right around Christmas time, I want to say. They both suddenly had separate Twitters. And they were like, you know, and it was very distinct where it's, if you wish to follow more of Melissa, go here. If you wish to follow more of James, go here. And I looked at that and I was like, something is up.
See,
and I also knew.
You had that feminine intuition on that.
Well, I also knew something was up because
Patty,
I remember
that's a big neon sign. The fuck are you thinking?
It is a big sign. But also what also kind of stuck out to me was they started a YouTube series in December as well. And it was very low budget, very rough because it had just started. And the chemistry between them was so awkward. And I know Melissa was sort of shy before that anyways, but you could watch it. And if you watch those videos, you could just see. Like there was like some people who are really astute, you can tell when a couple's not doing so hot. You can just look at them.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, you're not doing very well. And I could see the way they were interacting with each other, and it just looked very uncomfortable. It was almost painful to watch. And I wasn't surprised at all. I was surprised that it ended up being with Frank, and here's how I knew it was Frank. So I want to say Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, one of them, he was doing Holiday Cube, and he was doing a really late night one. Like, I think it was like 11 p.m., midnight or whatever. And it was her and a bunch of his friends, and the stream picked up on it right away. Like, the stream chat was dominated by, ooh, you should kiss her. We'll give you a beta, whatever, to kiss her, whatever. And he did. Like, he actually moved in to kiss her. She moved away. And they spent the whole stream, like, teasing people. And again, kind of like I said, where you can look at a couple and know they're not doing well. You can also look at two people.
They had electricity.
Exactly. Yeah. It was very clear there was some sort of attraction there. And I'm all for it. Like, I've actually noticed that since they started getting together, she's so much more extroverted. She's so much more talkative.
That's good.
It's fun watching her stream. Like, she's really just kind of come out of her shell. And I would have her on my show. Like, if I could get this Melissa De Toro on my show, I think she'd be last.
Yeah, get her. Like, the funny thing about Melissa is, like, I think she's a very good Magic player.
Yeah.
But she reminds me of my friend who is genius level, but completely introverted and just can't socially talk to people and is very uncomfortable. But, you know, when you get them in the right situation with the right people, it's true. They come out of their shell. They're comfortable.
Yeah.
They're confident. I think it's
totally
great for her.
Girl. Oh, yeah. Like, she's tweeting a lot more now. You see her on the stream and it's a totally different person. And I'm all for it. Like,
I'm just fascinated because, like, Magic couples getting together is because, like, all of us, I mean, I don't think any of our significant others play like Magic like we do. Like, you know, they'll tolerate a game with us if we beg and beg and beg. It's like fucking getting
all sexy. No, mine won't even do that anymore. She's just all,
is she? She's
oh,
like,
you're
I'm
playing
out.
Magic.
I'm out of here.
They'll, The last time my girlfriend played Magic with me, my fiance played Magic with me, was she was playing a green white infect deck. That's how long ago it was.
Nice. But I think it's fascinating that two people like that are that like, because I mean Frank isn't pro level, but he's very astute at the game. So it's kind of like, wow, well, like a relationship. Yeah, I mean he plays soft jazz. He's not that bad.
I mean, I said it before, even when I was on the show last time when we talked about my boiler room escapade, that the game makes a really great icebreaker. And, you know, if you can, if that is sort of like your in, it's a really good way to get your foot in the door. And from there, you have common interests, especially if you work together and you get to know each other. I don't think it's that uncommon at all. Like, I wasn't surprised. Yeah. I didn't think it was, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. Like, seriously, it's a very good way to get something started.
I think it's because there isn't that many females.
For all our
exactly.
Listeners.
But there's also not many guys. I mean, like, my last boyfriend didn't play Magic at all, and that was actually a bit of a problem for us. And to be honest, a lot of the guys that I've met since I've been on your show last, there's a lot of guys in the Magic community who are taken. So, you know, I haven't had any boiler room stories lately, because they've all got rings on their finger, because they all have girlfriends. And, boom. You know, so it's not much easier from my side of things either. I would love to date a guy who plays Magic, but I have not been able to find an available guy who's interested in me who plays Magic. So it's tough for both sides.
Yeah.
And if you can find somebody who's into what you're into, that's so cool.
That is cool, man. That is awesome.
Okay. Like I was saying, quick disclaimer to all our listeners. This does not mean hit on every single girl you see at F&M and hope you get lucky with at least two of them.
Very true.
I will say this. I have during the holidays, I went and see a bunch of my family around all – we did the tour of all the people. And I think this was Boxing Day. I think it was – maybe it was Christmas Day. I think it was Boxing Day. Whatever.
Did you – by the way, did you win all your boxing matches?
My boxing matches, yes.
Yeah, isn't that like you Canadians get done with Christmas and then you guys just have boxing matches all day, right?
No,
it's air hockey. It's their pong.
For all the American, I keep forgetting. I consider you guys all honorary Canadians. In the States, you guys got Black Friday, which now we have Black Friday here. But the day after, the day after Christmas Day, normally we have a thing called Boxing Day, which is like they slash all their prices, but the truth is they don't even do that anymore. It's all
is there really, but do they do any? Like, I honestly have no idea. Like, I've always heard about Boxing Day. I had no idea what the fuck it was. But now that I'm friends with all you fucking Canadians, I'm just all, what the fuck actually is it? Just like 2 days of Christmas, or is it like fucking a holiday or fucking like,
no, yeah, what the day, fuck I you think guys that got going on? All the shit and go get the actual box you wanted.
No, the truth is on Christmas Day we open everything and then the next day we put it all back in for next year. We do it again.
See, that makes sense though. We have 2 days of Christmas here. It's called fucking Christmas Eve with your fucking dad's side of the family because we're all divorced in America. Yeah. So it's Christmas Eve with your dad's side of the family and Christmas Day with your mom's side.
Kevin, have your divorced friends call me. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, there you go. No, I was gonna say I had gone to my cousin's house. And I got him into Magic now, and he's like, "Fuck you!" He's really angry that I got him into this, because he's like, "Oh my god, all his money is going to this, right?" So he's basically finding that his other hobbies now he has to cut some of them to afford Magic. But the side story was we went to his local shop, and there was a girl there, and she was playing Magic. Only girl in the shop, small dingy shop, maybe about 18 people, all crammed in this like space that could hold 10. And the poor girl was so uncomfortable. There were these three Geno guys that were like trying to play, but they were like just hitting on her, and it was so uncomfortable. I was like, oh man, someone saved that girl. She just wants the fuck out of there. So yeah, it's a thing for fair, you know, just take it easy, guys. Although I think funny, most times when a hot girl does walk into the store, it's just like, the guys run away. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do, which is a good and a bad thing, I guess. Saves them, saves us. It all works out in the end. But I will say, that I do have, first of all, I do want to ask. So Aaron, is there any other topic under the moon and the stars that you need to voice?
Not that I know of. I don't like standard right now, but I'm all about modern. Tilt. Your guests, your listeners sent me some topics. I'm just trying to think of what they covered. Otherwise, not that I know of.
Nah, we just had a bunch of tweets, a bunch bunch of crazy people asking us the same shit. I'm like, come on, guys. Although it is true, you do tilt. I read your tweets once in a while, and I'm just like, oh, man, I wish I was at that tournament right now because it looks like she's about to take some poor guy's head off.
Yeah, I have to say, though, since I started playing Modern, though, I don't tilt in Modern. Like, I think what it comes down to, and I said this before, is I respect the decks of Modern so much more. Like, when I see somebody playing Standard, and I see them kind of doing their thing, I'm like, really? That's your plan? Like, your plan is Tidebinder range? Like, that's your plan? But when you're playing Modern, it's so much more grand. Like, I played against Ad Nauseam for the first time last Friday. I've never seen that deck before. And I remember he's like, turn one Lotus Bloom. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing my thing. So I'm cycling my creatures as I'm playing Living End. And then he goes, Phyrexian Unlife. And I'm like,
oh, there, that's that combo,
like,
yep.
I've never seen it before. So I'm like, okay, you got a Lotus Bloom. And okay. So I'm still getting ready, but I see some blue mana. So I'm like, well, I don't want to get countered. So I'm going to wait till maybe I can cascade twice. And that way, if he counters one, I'll get my Living End off. And all of a sudden, he goes Ad Nauseam. And I'm like, oh, Ad Nauseam. Okay. I'm still not getting it. I'm like, wait, okay. So he starts, drawing all of his cards, and of course he's not losing life because of the unlife. And then I'm like, what's that going to get you? What happens now, And then he goes, conflagrate. And that's so gangsta. Like, I couldn't be mad that I lost to that because that's so epic. It's like, that's pretty cool. But when you're losing to Burning Shamissary, Burning Shamissary, Burning Shamissary, turn two, and then turn three, yeah, it's Nykthos Masturbate. That's your plan? Like, that's, I like a plan. I like a cackling, put your hands together and wah-ha, grand plan. And
that is my plan! Burning tree, burning tree, burning tree.
That's a really embarrassing thing to lose to. Whereas in Modern, you're losing to a turn three Karn, or you're losing to...
Oh, sweetheart. I need to play Modern against you.
But I'm just saying, is I think that's I just respect the strategy so much more. I think in Standard, it's just really janky and really embarrassing almost. Where it's like, that's how you win? Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how I win in Modern. Game one, if I can't fucking get you down from 20 in the first three or four turns, then we go to game two, and then Blood Moon. You don't get to use any of your shit.
I don't know. I just, like I said, I just enjoy the deck so much more. It's almost fun watching them go off for a newbie like me. Yeah. I don't mind, like I just don't respect Standard right now. I don't think it's anything to be proud of. I don't think, whacking off behind eight pack rats is anything to boast about. I don't know.
Shut up, Aaron.
I kind of think of it very much like if you watch Star Trek, it's like the Klingons talk about honor, and like there's no sense of, you want a good fight. You want to feel, and I don't feel that.
Unfortunately, after you see the combo deck a couple of times, you'll be saying the same thing about it.
Yeah, it's fun one.
I knew that I was over Standard when Azorius Control became the thing, when people started moving away from Esper, and I started reading all these articles where they were boasting about how they were taking out win conditions, and they were like, we want as few win conditions as possible, and I was like, why would you purposely do that? Why would you purposely have one lone Elsbeth as your only win condition?
Control the board.
But you can thank Kunio for that bullshit. He keeps doing absurd. That all the time. And
when
now
your win
on.
Condition is Elixir of Immortality, that's gone too far.
Yes, that was Kunio's idea.
I don't think bore you to tears is a respectable strategy. And the fact
I
that
get that
is, no, I think it's
I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, like we said, interactive game is fun for everyone. A non-interactive game is fun for only one. So.
And I mean, I may eat
boring.
My words. I mean, like I said, I've only been playing Modern for a month. So if you cut to 6 months, I may end up hating the format. But right now, every deck I play is something new. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't think you're going to end up hating the format.
I've been having a lot of fun with it. I actually caved and bought my Verdant Catacombs. I invested a lot of my store credit in the Fulminators. I went in, and I'm having such a blast. And what was that?
I was going to say, all I can say is, with that in mind, do not get Paolo on your cast. He hates Modern.
Oh, now get him on your cast for sure.
No, but I've been having a lot of fun. I actually turned down a Standard PTQ so I could play in just Modern FNM because I wanted to play. I was more excited to play Living End for an evening than going to a Standard event and putzing around with something else. Like I love playing it. It's so much fun.
I'm still in that same spot, Aaron. Like I was there. Like when you listen to the early episodes of our cast, I was like, fuck Modern, because I was still getting into the game, like getting back into the game or whatever, and learning about the different formats and shit like that. I was like, fuck Modern, I don't want anything to do with that, this bullshit. And then as soon as I actually got introduced to Modern. Like, it, to me, it's same thing. It's so much fun. And you see, like, I have fun playing Magic when I play Modern. I'll get into Standard when Standard really shakes up. And, like, things are weird. You know, people can brew decks. You can, you know, a new set comes out, something like that. But then it really, it takes me, like, fucking 2-3 weeks before I'm over Standard again. But I can go back to Modern, and even though, like, the decks are there, they are still pretty much the same decks that have been there with some slight tweaks. It's so much more fun to play. And I still, like, that is my fallback format. I don't think you're ever going to get bored of it, to be honest with
yeah.
you.
And I feel like I'm learning things in Modern that I didn't learn in Standard that I could maybe apply to Standard, or I could apply to other formats. And it's just fun.
Absolutely.
Like, I got to go where I'm having fun, and I'm having a blast.
Absolutely. And I talked about that last week, is like, you know, like me getting into Cube now, learning interactions like that have taught me to play better Modern and have taught me to play better Standard, because you learn shit that you wouldn't have thought of before. And that might apply to Standard. You know, you might not have thought about a card in Standard that could do something like this, because, you know, you and I both are, you know, we didn't, you know, we weren't into Modern before. Mm-hmm. And then now that we are, and we see shit, like shit that's not in Standard, essentially, is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Then, okay. I see that interaction, and that kind of carries over into this. Or I made that mistake, and I don't want to make that mistake again. And that also carries over into a fucking Standard deck too. Mm-hmm. So
I think another thing I really enjoy about Modern is just the eye for it. Like to think about something mm-hmm. like Living End. And I even said this when Travis was on my show, I would never think to look at those cards that are in Living End and think this could be a deck. Like, I would not have the foresight to be like, Cycling's a thing and Living End is a thing and Cascade is a thing. I wouldn't think to look for that. Like, I don't have that eye, and you just don't see that in Standard. You just don't see odd pieces like that that work so well together. Or even the ad nauseum thing, I wouldn't think. I had Phyrexian Unlife in my binder for ages, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I was like, someone should do something with this, and then someone did, and I'm like, that's brilliant. Like, that's
exactly it. Well, because that's the thing, in Standard you're so constricted. I mean, you're talking fucking, you know, a year and a half to 2 years worth of cards, you know, like, or not even that.
Like, when you look at Legacy Dredge, like, I was looking at Legacy Dredge, and when you think of, again, Dredge, Bridge from Below, like, I wouldn't have thought to put that together. Like, that's brilliant right there, and you just don't see that level of brilliance in Standard right now. I don't know if
I don't think you see that when I joined all. Magic again, that was the first deck I went to.
Dredge?
Yeah, because it was cheap.
Yeah, it is. I think you can, but you can build Dredge for about $150 last time I checked. Yep. If you don't go the Lion's Eye route.
MMA through Bridge from Below way, way cheap. But unfortunately, Icarids are up to like 23 each now. So.
What?
Yep.
Yeah. Holy
Ages
balls.
Loaded in price.
I was just saying,
you know, when I very first joined Magic, Bridge from Below was fucking like $10. The Black Ley Line was
$8. The TCG player, Icarid is only about $8. I just looked it up.
Yeah, it's like $5.70. Yeah, it's only like $5.70 in paper. It's $21 online.
That's dumb.
Online, okay.
Oh my god, that's fucking retarded. Fuck that, I'm not playing that.
I'll deal with the paper crap.
Sorry, paper.
I said the P word. You know, I can say penis. I can't say paper. Paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Get that parchment out of here.
Paper cut. No.
You know, it was funny. Like, Kevy hit it on the thing. The Holiday Cube is a fascinating thing. I love that Moto doesn't. Please never stop. But I literally just stopped playing all of the Magic and just play that. When I'm still on a huge run. Well, I guess it's over now, but I went on a huge run of like just 10-0, just kept coming in, like, where I'd get the same amount of tickets back so I could play for free, just infinite cube.
It's so much fun.
Okay,
what I don't understand on that is, you know, I was listening to the A Team earlier this week for some reason. love you guys. I was listening to the A Team and they had, fucking, now I'm gonna be a dick, I don't remember his name, but like, he's a cube streamer.
Vanderson.
Yeah, they brought
cute
up the fact
he has an accent. That's all I needed to know.
I never paid attention to this thing before. Yeah, like they have the holiday cube, and then they bring up like the powered cube, and they bring up the non-powered cube at different times throughout the year. Apparently,
yeah.
That I didn't notice. Why do they not just leave the fucking cube up? I mean, maybe not the power cube. Do the power cube fucking for the holiday cube. But why don't they just leave the cube up all year? Like, would there be any fucking problem
yes.
with...
Oh, 100%. Dude, okay, listen to this. Me...
Is it nobody drafts?
No one will do anything. Between me, TSG, and Marcel, we probably played over 100 cubes, 8 minutes. Like, we all just played for 2.5 weeks straight all the time, every chance we got, not doing anything and not paying anything. I paid once to get in. I paid twice because I'm an idiot and didn't realize I could use phantom points. And then I never paid again. I just don't pay. I just keep winning. So it's just insane that the EV of just playing. And if you 3-0, you're getting free Urza packs. So you're generating shit. But... They can't leave it up all the time because it would get boring, and it has to be kind of special. I just wish they had it. I mean, they do. I think they put it up four times.
Oh, can I
interrupt
you for just a second? I have breaking news.
Oh, you're absolutely allowed to interrupt.
Frank Lepore just changed his relationship status to in a relationship with Melissa DeTora. It's official.
Oh, shit.
Oh, we just got roving reporter Aaron Ostrez on the board.
It's awesome. We have a reporter that's out there in the field, and now everybody knows because – well, actually, by the time this comes out, everybody's already going to know about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, too bad.
It'll be all up on Reddit and fucking
– I do have very sad news, though, Kevy, for our old roving reporter, Sup Stevie. He apparently is walking away from the game.
Yeah, I saw that tweet earlier, and that sucks. Like,
it does.
I'm sure he'll be back. He'll be back. You don't fucking get out like
you don't get out that easy. You don't get out that
easy. Yeah, you don't get out like that. Fucking.
I did want to promote something though. He is going to start a new show, which is awesome because I think Sub Stevie is the driest motherfucking wittest dude ever. He's hilarious. He needs to be on a cast more. He's going to do a tabletop game, kind of like Will Wheaton. So he's going to do like a cast on tabletop games. So I'm like, dude, as soon as you get that up, let me know and I will promote the living shit out of it for you. Cause
absolutely.
That sounds awesome. We'll get him on Man of the Pride. He can be Jay Bush and Sub Stevie talking about
Star Wars.
That'd be fucking sweet.
I have to say my episode with Jay Bush is literally the biggest episode I've ever done. I've never had that many downloads. I've never had that much positive feedback. I've never had that much feedback, period. Easily the best episode I've ever done.
Well, that guy's a piece of shit, too. That's weird.
Well, I think people got to see a different side of him on my show, which people found really attractive. And, again, I've never had that many people, you know, and I hate to say it, but it's like Jay has a big following. I think he has like 4,000 followers on Twitter, but I've certainly interviewed people who've had more. And it's interesting how those people and their followers weren't as vocal as somebody who has less followers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like all about the jihad level.
Followers are very vocal. And I was actually really worried because of how vocal they were. I was like, they're going to pick this apart. And no, I got 99.9% love from it. And easily the best show I've ever done.
You know, it's funny. Anyone who's doing like you do it, and I know the SVU cast with Robot Large and Proxy Guy, they're doing a different route because, you know, if you're going to have a cast in Magic, you got to – got to find your own way and do your own thing. And you've got this like humorous kind of sexual in-depth tension going on where it's a very intimate one-on-one. And, you know, the SVU guys are doing like more like a Charlie Rose kind of like thing, which is really cool. I mean, in all honesty, I'd rather listen to those types of casts than in-depth daily coverage on, you know, standard breakdowns or something. Like I gravitate towards learning about you guys. Like that's the thing. Like what magic has given me is the friends. That, in all honesty, the games are great, but the people connections I've had is what I like. That's what I don't want to ever lose. Mm-hmm. So the more I get to know about people in depth, I find them fascinating. And you know, please do more.
Well, I think there's been a move towards that, especially on the professional level. Like I know when people complain about the coverage, they like to say that you know we don't get to know the pros. We don't have a reason to root for them other than the fact that they're good. And I've never watched LOL streams. I've never watched StarCraft streams, but I'm under the impression from the way people talk about it that they work really hard to build them up as celebrities. They work hard to build them up as people. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, with all these guys, Paul Rietzel, I know nothing about Paul Rietzel. I know he's good. I know he's blonde. I know
tall.
He wears a – I know he wears a Hawaiian lei in his picture, but I know nothing about him. I have no reason to care about him. I hate to say it, right. But it's the pros that I know stuff about where, like, after having Chapin on my show and after having Brian Kibler on my show, I root for them like I'm their mama. I'm like,
exactly. When they have a story behind them, and that's with anything. I mean, it's the same thing, like, you know, when you cross, like, platforms over into, like, the music industry or just celebrities, like, in the movie industry, it's like, that's what people thrive on. That's what the fans thrive on, is those little tidbits of their personal life and, like, who they are as people. Because anybody can go pick up a CD, or anybody can go to the theater and watch a movie, or anybody can fucking turn on the stream of a tournament and watch somebody do something that you enjoy watching them do, you know, whether it be watch them play Magic or watch them fucking play music or watch them act. But when you get to know them, you know, as a person, you know, even from afar, when it's just like internet knowledge, when you get to know them from afar, like, you get to see the transformation that they take. Like, you know, maybe this guy just thinks Magic all day long and that's all he does. And, you know, like you were talking about Sam Black just being fucking binary, fucking, and you're like, all right, well, that's not fucking interesting at all. But when you're like, when you're talking to another guy or you're seeing another guy and him built up his story is like, he's all, yeah, you know, like, I love this fucking game. And, you know, I had a family and, you know, this going on, so I couldn't really do it, but then my family got behind me because I was good at this game, and then all of a sudden you're just all, yeah, Rudy, Rudy, and you're fucking all behind him. Like,
yeah.
And that's what captures people, and I think Wizards could fucking take a page out of that book and really, you know, push their stars as stars and do more with that. And I mean, shit, like, I mean, we're already doing it as a community. There's people like you that interview them and bring that information out. And fuck, Wizards is missing the boat on not doing that.
Hey, I'm going to be the first to say right now, I would not mind seeing a special 5-minute segment hosted by Aaron on the next Pro Tour called Boiler Room with the Stars. And you take Kibler and you throw him in the boiler room and he's sweating and he's like, what am I doing in here? Why am I tied? Why are my feet tied together? And you're like, tell me about this dog of yours, Shiro. I would love that. Please, someone get on.
Getting all up inside blank.
I'd have to be a little more sensual about it. Like, you're going to show me your dog, Kibler? Yeah, you're going to make it beg for me?
Yeah. And he's just like, my hair is wilting in here. Does anyone have a comb?
You know, to be honest, I have a girlfriend, but Shiro's stoked.
I have to say, and it's funny. I mean, going back to the stories that make you root for people, I still think one of the best stories I've ever heard was the first time I went to Gen Con, since it was in Indianapolis 2 years ago. It was back when they had the World Cup at Gen Con. And Team Japan, I will never, ever forget this. Something happened where they missed their second flight. So they were in Washington, D.C.,
and they
were trying to get – no, they took a cab, actually.
Oh, the cab, that's right. They took the
cab. Right. So I remember that they took a 10-hour cab. It cost, like, at least $1,000. They took a cab from Washington, D.C. to Indianapolis. And straight there, I think they got to the event with, like, a couple minutes to spare. And that was the story of, you know, they could have easily been like, oh, okay, you know, shit happens. We lost, you know, whatever. But no, this amazing journey. And I still think about it. And I still remember Team Japan so fondly. And that was so badass, you know. I was like, oh, like, how can you not root for that? And that's what I want. I want to be able to root for you. And there are just very few people that I want to root for, you know?
Totally. Right.
You got to have a story.
Yeah. So, Aaron, do you have any shout-outs that you want to say?
Gathering Magic. I mean, for having me. Like, I've been an unofficial member for so long. And the fact that I'm actually in the family now is so cool. And they've already started. I think Stib sent me a draft of the website where, like, my name is on the writer's page and my show is. Nice. And that feels really, really good. And I don't know. Just anybody who listens, like, I think the show is up to 20 5-star reviews now, which is insane. And anybody who just listens and takes the time out, I'm just so happy to be here. And it's just been a wild ride. Like, I just can't believe it.
Awesome. I have a bit of a long shout out this time, but I do want to inform people during my shout out. Huge shout out to Martin.
Inform people during my shout out.
Yeah, I do. My shout outs aren't just bullshit. They're informative. I want to shout out Martin, who's hooking us up for GP Montreal. And here's a bit of an attention notification. Anyone who wants to jump on this GP train with us, we're leaving from Toronto. We're going to Montreal. We're going to leave Toronto on the Friday, get to Montreal. I think it's
this
is March 14th to the 17th, GP Montreal.
My son's
what
birthday.
What is the format?
It is draft, Born of the Gods. I think it's limited, yeah. Mm. Or no, it's sealed limited. I'm not sure. It's limited, I'm pretty sure. Who gives a fuck? We're not there to play the damn event.
Exactly.
So here's what's going down to give everyone the updated information. So we're going to be staying at La Embassy, I believe. We are currently, I should have by Friday, the time you hear this, our group rate block. And I'll be tweeting the code. So if you want to, you just go online, book the hotel room. You should be in our block. You should get whatever discount we get. And then we're trying to get the train sorted out. It's going to be a little complicated. So please just keep retweeting me, hashtag GP drunk train, if you want to ride this train. because it's going to be a little difficult to get everyone scheduled on this exact train.
So who's the caboose of this train?
Jeremy Schofield, he's the scumbag. He brings up the rear.
Yeah, he is always a caboose.
He's the last one in line, making sure that last ass is plugged.
Oh my.
I don't think
KYT would be the caboose.
He's the birthday boy. It's his birthday weekend.
Oh yeah. My god, can I pop out of the cake?
You can do whatever you want.
Happy birthday. Mr. Manager Prize Phone.
With the smeared lipstick and the slurs, be flapping. Anyways, that's something to look forward to there.
Man, I should try and go to that.
You should. It sounds like it's going to be the insane thing for 2014. But more info is. Just keep tweeting me, GP Junk Train until I get the actual train number that we're going to go on. Rye ABC. Yeah, it's Junk Train, baby. Rye ABC is trying to get us a whole coach. So he thinks he can book out a whole car and then we'd be like, the idea is you pick this train, it's coming in at this time at your stop, get on train 4.
Hey,
or
Maddie.
Basically just look for the train with the windows open and the Jameson bottles flying out of either side. That'll be ours.
Maddie, how do you pronounce the name of that venue?
The venue? I have no fucking idea.
You don't speak French?
Nope. As most people don't realize, in Canada, most Canadians can't stand the Québécois. And we don't believe that we're a bilingual country. We just have a bunch of crazy French guys that think we do, but no one really cares. We just humorize them. Humorize them? Hell, I can't even speak fucking English. There you go. But keep tweeting me anyways. We'll get you some more information. Don't book the hotel room yet, because if you want to be on our floor and our block, just hold on. Should have info next week. We're going to want to get in there. Scotty has got some crazy ideas, and I've got a few ideas. Maybe even at the event, we're going to try and hook up a gigantic battle where we'll have maybe four or five players in a row at the face-to-face booth, and if you can get through all five of us, maybe we'll like give you something special or free credit at face-to-face. So it sounds like it's gonna be fucking amazing for everybody. More details are coming. It's all organic at this point, but it's gonna be amazing. And if anyone wants to give us free liquor, you know what? I have to draw a line somewhere because I have to go to business in May.
I know a couple Canadians who are planning on going, so that's why I was curious.
Yeah, Scotty, sounds good times. I would love to go. I'm going to be in Boston in May for a packaging design conference, so probably going to burn all my time there for that one, but you never know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We've got Kevy's bachelor party. You should be the cake for Kevy's bachelor party. That'll psych the shit out of a lot of people.
Oh man. For his birthday though, I would have to pop out of the cake to Rihanna's birthday cake. Like cake, and just sort of twerk. That'd have to be what happened, you know?
just dress up like Miley Cyrus.
It's not even my birthday. Just
not
saying.
Even my birthday.
Ask Kevy if he wants to blow out his candle and make a wish.
And then you're like, I can't, it's uncircumcised.
Oh, Kevy, tell me you're not.
Oh, for the love of God, I am circumcised as
shit. Thank you, God.
It looks like a pristine statue that you could view through a microscope.
Yes, thank you, God.
Carved out of marble.
And he doesn't wear ugly shoes. We settled this on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
He wears good shoes.
What is up with guys with ugly shoes? Like, ugh.
Hey, shout out to Macbeth, who should be sponsoring me.
Sponsor this cast, Macbeth. Get us all free shoes. We'll fucking
no shit.
Yeah, actually, I just speaking of that, I got a pair of those not too long ago.
There you go. We're already half sponsored.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, motherfuckers be buying them shoes because I said so. And I still don't see any Macbeth money. So,
Tevi, in fairness, I got them because I got the shoes for like $20 on 6pm.com. But yeah.
I don't give a shit. The only reason you got Macbeth is because I told you to.
That's true.
There you go. Ferret, you got any shout outs? Because we know Kevy can't, he still have to think of his.
I don't know. I figure if I start my shout outs.
I don't have to make you guys fucking talk to me for another hour.
Yeah, that's about what I was going to say. He'll make us talk for another hour anyway, so I've got time.
You fuckers. I will shout out, you know what? I'm going to shout out the A team. I'm going to interrupt your shout out because I'm going to shout out the A team. Yeah, fuck your shout out. I'm going to shout out the A team and their logo choice. And huge shout out to the proxy guy who won the logo challenge. The guy is.
Hells yeah!
Yeah, that guy should seriously stop doing what he's doing and get a career in graphic design. You got talent, dude. Start using it.
The proxy guy logo.
Yeah, sick logo, and I think the A-Team's brand, I think you guys chose the right one. Looks good. Everyone else did a great job, too, but...
I'm gonna have fucking Joe Ben. I was like, I guarantee you I'm gonna be the first motherfucker with Joe Ben tattooed on me.
Well, you get free merch for life, I believe, if that's the thing.
Proxy guy gets free merch for life because he won the goddamn contest, but I told them that I will be the first motherfucker that has fucking Joe Ben tattooed on him.
I called my boss Joe Ben the other day. He didn't know what that was.
You know what?
He was standing over my shoulder. We just recently, because I work for a bank, and they just recently unleashed some new government processes on us that we needed to do, and nobody seems to know what they're doing, as per our banking system. And my supervisor was standing over my shoulder, and when I don't learn, I tend to lash out at people, like when I don't know what I'm doing. And I was just like, but the step code is here, and the underwriter didn't fill it out, and you're being a Jobin! And he's just like,
that's awesome.
Like, what's a Jobin? I'm like, and it's a person who doesn't do what the person needs them to do. Don't be a Jobin! And he's just, it was very frustrating and confusing, but felt good to get off my chest nonetheless.
That's good.
I love hidden swear words and slang words. People are like, what are you talking about? Never mind.
You know what is really great to call people? I learned this from one of my Australian friends. Call somebody you don't like a fuck sock.
A fuck sock? You know what? There's a story about a sock that got fucked, and I'm not going to tell it here. But
sock is really, fuck sock, you know what else is really hard, too, is piss ant.
Yeah, but I pissed on a lot of ants. That's not a big deal.
I get you. Piss ant's a good one, but fuck sock cracks me up. It actually reminds me of like the beginning of the cast when we were talking about banging those water snakes.
Yeah. All right, well, you know what, Kevy? There's got to be a city that hates snakes.
I don't want to shout anybody out because everybody's...
Aaron, is there a city that hates uncircumcised people as much as we do?
That dirty little shithole of San Diego.
Yep, it does. You know what? I actually heard San Diego only allows you can't be cut there. You have to have intact. You have to be intact. So
there was
all
a city in California that did.
You have to be
pass
biblically intact.
What? Was there really?
I believe it was California. Yeah, they had tried to pass legislation that made circumcision illegal.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and I remember it because here's the thing. There was actually, I swear to God, this is a thing. Some of the propaganda that they were using to pass this bill involved a comic. Like, somebody made a comic book about this. I swear to God, I'm going to find you a link. And they actually, I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
Please do.
No, I honestly believe it. Here we go.
I found it.
Fucking make the point.
Found it.
Shut the fuck up. This is real.
No, seriously. These were the people that were trying to get this bill passed had created this comic book. I just linked it to you.
I am not Googling this.
I'm just saying. And if you look at the link, and they had there was actually a guy named Foreskin Man. He was a superhero. And there were these evil rabbis with red eyes and long beards that were kidnapping babies. Seriously, click the link.
Oh my God. I'm looking at this right now.
Yeah, and now we're finding the link.
And they were passing it out as a way to say that they're after your children and they're going to mutilate them. And Foreskin is the way to save them. And yeah, this was actually a thing.
Oh, wow.
I will not
specifically by the founder of a San Diego group supporting efforts to ban circumcision.
Oh my God. Well, look at her. She's a hippie.
What?
She's a hippie, but there's a superhero in the background with foreskin on his. Oh my god.
What would you say to these people?
Fuck you.
No, that was right on time. You pulled out and just fucking jizz right on this thing.
No, I love it.
To hate San Diego because of foreskin man. I mean, only in
exactly. The last two frames of the comic. Glick Will, be safe with us, foreskin man. And then all of a sudden it's her ass, like some random hippie bitch in a fucking short skirt. And it's we will raise him as one of our own. This is fucking terrible.
I can't believe this. You gas think you've won, foreskin man. Jethro wants Glick's circumcised. I'll just keep coming back until his foreskin is mine. Come on. This is unreal. I won't even put this link on Man at a Bribe because it'll probably get them suspended, but this is absurd. Dude, I can't believe this is real.
The first frame of the comic book, where is there the child? And it's like the Jewish assassins.
Okay. For anyone that actually listens this long.
Kevin. The banner for, no, fuck that, Maddie. I'm serious.
That's exactly what, Kevin.
The first frame is the banner. Kevin,
done. No one will, now for those of you that actually listen this far, because a lot of people don't, you're going to get, no one will get this. I'm going to put this as the banner. KYT and Carrie Dan, well, they won't listen this far. I know they don't listen this far. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, wow, that's interesting. That's kind of cool.
They're all like, smash, where is the child? That's the name of the fucking. They won't have any idea.
I have got to save this link right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking forward to this email when KYT actually starts getting emails about why did you allow that.
Yeah. Oh, no. And this is the best part is Ferret always gets the emails that say, like, oh, seriously, this is really? Like, you let Maddie and Kevin do this? And then, like, once the episode airs, we don't give a shit anymore, and we forget what happened. So it's like we're unaccountable.
Oh, man. You know what? If you don't – do not go deep into the comments. It's so racist and so bad.
Oh, shit. That reminds me. You know what? Here's what we're doing for the fucking MTGO credit from now on.
Oh, yeah. We totally forgot again.
It is determined by comments. So in other words, every month. We'll take and pick one random person that had made a comment that month, and you're gonna win.
The best fucking comment. And if Sub Stevie,
not best comment. It can be any comment.
You will always win.
No, it's got to be the best one, Ferret. I don't want people just saying, "Hey, comment," because wheel.
We're trying to get more comments on the site and get more people commenting, so it has to actually be a valid comment that has substance about the cast. So it can't just be some random bullshit. Hi, I made a comment. Do I win? No.
They try that. You know that, right?
I know they'll try.
That's what
I'm
saying. It's
got
to be the awesome.
It has to be a legitimate comment.
Oh, man. You're right. Look at that. Foreskin Man is produced in San Francisco in a niche of leftists, and Islam shittest history repeats itself. Oh, my God. You're right. I can't. San Diego is garbage now. Fuck them. Like, it is the Satanist. This insane. I cannot believe this.
Maddie, here, I'm going to segue.
Yeah, but there's
Satanists. Did you hear?
So many hot girls there. Like, seriously, you can't fall the floor.
Shut up. Kevin, no. I have something serious to say.
I'm louder than you.
Oh. Fuck you. Okay, anyway. Apparently, Oklahoma went stupid. Complete full-on retard. And they erected a monument of the Ten Commandments on the Capitol grounds.
Wow. In Colorado, you can just go smoke weed, so fuck. I mean, the whole country's going to shit.
They literally did the whole allowing religion to be on the Capitol building, Capitol grounds. And
was
now,
that Ohio?
No. Guys, you gotta listen. So now, the Satanist group, with private funds are trying to have lobbied to take and put a statue and monument of Bahamut there, or Baphomet, sorry. Or Baphomet. Then also the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, aka Cthulhu, has also raised funds to build a monument to Cthulhu there.
Please put Emrakul there. That would be sick.
And here's the other great part.
Please put Emrakul there.
Yes!
PETA lobbied to be able to have their own monument as well.
What the fuck are they going to put a baby seal with a club in its head?
I don't know. The fact of the matter is that Oklahoma literally seriously went full on retard and crossed that line. And then get this. So when they were asked for the Satanists to be able to put, you know, in denying them to be able to put up their monument and whatnot, they're like, we're a faith-based state and from a faith-based country.
Wow.
And
so is there going to be an actual statue of Satan? That's awesome.
Yes.
No, that'd be awesome!
Kevy, we're going on a road trip just to see that. Guys, that's insane.
Here's the funniest thing about all this. All right. Is they're going to be putting erecting a monument right next to the Ten Commandments.
A foreskin man?
No. Of the Bill of Rights. Does anybody know the First Amendment?
No. You can say whatever you want. No, it's freedom of religion.
Oh, I know the Second Amendment.
All these other religions to be able to put their monuments in the same land that they allowed the Christians to put theirs. Congratulations on opening that book of worms.
That's more than a book of worms.
Okay,
Adam Bomb. I don't know. But yeah.
Nice.
Aaron, what do you think?
Aaron is basically, when can I put a giant statue of a nice circumcised cock on there that I can pray to every day?
Like, Aaron and I can come together and form a church that worships penises.
You could have ended the sentence at come together, Kevin. You didn't need to keep going. You could have been like, Aaron and I can come together, period.
Aaron and I can come together. Go fuck to go yourself, and San Diego.
Exactly.
Go fuck yourself, Oklahoma.
Oh, man. Every year, we'll just pick another state or city just to hate on.
Nope. It's got to be San Diego, man.
Nah, that's true. It is evil.
Any rate, Aaron, that is also why I completely busted out laughing earlier when you were saying "fuck Republicans."
Yeah.
Because, well, the lovely, yeah.
Well, this has been a fucking kegger, gentlemen and ladies. This is like insane. I still can't believe there's a fucking foreskin man. I'm gonna have to dwell on this for a while.
I'm telling you, Patty, you have to do this. Like the first fucking.
It's done. It's done, dude. There's nothing to think about. It's done. It actually, in all honesty, I'm gonna get Proxy Guy to proxy that up, and we just need to pick the card that fits on.
No.
The name of the episode has to just be Smash: Where is the child?
I won't even. I'm not even gonna name this episode. I'm gonna leave it as is, just that. Although I do have to find a way to subtly work in like a penis somewhere. I don't know, without them knowing what it is.
No, like what I'm actually wondering is the big question is how you're going to put exit music to this. Like, what fucking song are you gonna pick when we end on this note? Are you gonna play?
Do you know what I'm gonna put?
Some random skinhead punk band.
Nope. Stroke It.
Oh,
stroke. I gotta find that now.
Oh, and you have to edit your voice into that singing.
Oh yeah, fucking right, man. Everybody, stroke. That was it. All right, guys, this was it was informative about penises. That's for sure. I'm sure. Sure, at some point there was a dick count.
Talk to me about that one big thing. Spread your ear pollution both far and wide. Keep your contributions by your side. It's wrong, messed up, man. Could be a winner, boy, and move quite well. We'll be right back.
my face. First you try to bend me and make my backbone slide. But when you find you bled me, skip on by, keep on. Said it ain't no joke.